Good evening, folks.
Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
By color only day here on CNN with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNN, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the rights are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNN at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Okay, I have got a clip from Representative Chip Roy that I'm going to play after the intro with Duke Brooks, and it'll be about 27 minutes. It's long, but it's very well worth listening to. He went after the Republicans and the Democrats for what is going on, and he covered more things than the grievances that we had against England when the Revolutionary War started. So that is a good one, and we will be right back.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to see.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you.
welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Reminded as I listened to my friend from Texas of the engagements that I had with veterans that I represent in the 21st Congressional District in Texas between Austin and San Antonio just over August. One of the great things about when you are in your work period is engaging with your constituents, and they have a funny way of reminding you why they sent us here. And I had countless veterans, civilians, asking me what's happening to their country. And many veterans, several men later in life, breaking down in tears, asking questions like, what did they fight for, to watch what's unfolding currently under this administration, what's happening to the country that they believe in. My question right now for my colleagues in this chamber is, when will it be enough? When will what we're experiencing, seeing with our own eyes every day, be enough for us to act? And I'm not just speaking to colleagues on my side of the aisle, but the whole chamber. We have a responsibility under the Constitution of the United States to stand up in a government of separated powers and check an executive branch that is flouting the law on a daily basis. This is an administration that is engaging in utterly lawless acts on a daily basis. And it is resulting in the endangerment of not just individual American citizens, but the republic itself. And that is not hyperbole, and I don't say it lightly because I very much share the optimistic tenor of my colleague from Texas who just spoke on the floor talking about the hope that he has for this country, given the strength of this country in its past and the strength of so many of our American people. But as a friend of mine and a good mutual friend of my friend from Texas, Mr. Elzey, former Governor Rick Perry, wrote in the first chapter of a book about a decade ago, America is great. Washington is broken. And it remains broken, badly broken, no longer following the constitutional guidelines set forth, no longer serving the American people, and as the Constitution calls for, carrying out the general welfare of the people and securing the blessings of liberty. That's literally what our call is as servants in Washington. And so my question again is, when will it be enough? It's a long laundry list of things that should be giving us great pause. Actual existential crises. Spending. We will spend $2 trillion more this year than we take in. We are $32 trillion in debt, barreling towards 33, barreling towards 34, and we just passed a debt ceiling increase of $4 trillion, frankly, probably more than that. And oh, by the way, our interest payments are now more than what we spend on national defense. Inflation is rampant. Are we going to do anything about it? The resounding answer currently from this body is no. We continue to fund appropriations bills that spend more than last year. It's just going up. Are we going to do anything about spending? When will it be enough? How about our Defense Department? This Defense Department is undermining our national defense by turning our military into what I describe as a social engineering experiment in a uniform. President Biden's Pentagon is outright ignoring the law by funding abortion tourism with taxpayer funding in blatant violation of the traditional bipartisan agreement under the Hyde Amendment to not do that. Let states decide. That's what the court just said. We continue to fund it with federal dollars. President Biden's Pentagon is using millions of taxpayer dollars to fund gender transition procedures. The Air Force released a memo entitled Department of the Air Force Observance of LGBTQ Pride Month, which empowered installation commanders to plan and conduct activities in honor of Pride Month. Now, color me crazy and reactionary that I think that every single dollar that we fund to the Department of Defense ought to go to planes, boats, bullets, bombs, missiles, and trained soldiers to use them. Our military is paying chief diversity officers and inclusion officials upwards of $183,000 a year. The United States Marine University is a year-long program that is dedicated to exploring gender and security issues. According to the official syllabus, which we found because we saw it on Twitter when they were trying to defend their position, they discuss program themes like, quote, gendering war, with questions like, what is gender and how is it different from biological sex? Or how war narratives are constructed through gender discourse. Again, we're $2 trillion in debt. Our recruiting levels are in the toilet at the Pentagon. China is building their military, and this is what we're funding. It's not like we have a $2 trillion surplus. What are we doing? Do you really think having Marines discuss how, quote, war narratives are constructed through gender discourse helps us win a war? COVID. The hysteria and the tyranny are already on the march again. This week, we learned that CIA whistleblowers told the COVID Select Committee that the CIA bribed its analysts to deny the lab leak theory. The whistleblower claims that 6 of 7 analysts believed that the evidence pointed toward the Wuhan lab leak theory. The 6 were then given a, quote, significant monetary incentive to change their position. How about health? We're funding a healthcare system broken by Washington and big insurance, and average Americans can no longer afford healthcare, no longer go to the doctors of their choice. Obamacare is set to cost you 6% more in 2024. Some plans may spike 10%. When I had cancer about 11 years ago, I went to MD Anderson. To the best of my understanding, under the Obamacare plan that I would have to use as a member of Congress, I wouldn't be able to go to MD Anderson. How is that coverage? How are we doing that to the American people? But don't fear. Big insurance revenue reached $1.25 trillion and profits hit $70 billion, a 300% increase in revenue and a 300% increase in profits from just 10 years ago. Life is good for big insurance. United Health Group, $20.6 billion up, 16% year over year. Cigna, $6.7 billion up, 24% year over year. CVS Health, $4.2 billion. Humana, $2.8 billion. Meanwhile, the average American family spends more than $22,000 a year on premiums, which is expected to increase 6.4% this year. In 23, we will spend more than $1 trillion subsidizing insurance. Yes, we're borrowing another $1 trillion to subsidize those insurance companies I was just describing. You like corporate cronyism? Well, you've got it. How about energy? Are any of these things going to be enough? Healthcare, COVID, Department of Defense, wokeism, energy. We're actively destroying our ability to have reliable energy to the benefit of China and a bunch of elitists who don't live in reality. The Inflation Reduction Act has essentially a $1.2 trillion handout to subsidize billion-dollar corporations. Something like 90% of the subsidies are to billion-dollar corporations. Pretty much heavily led by very rich, white, elitist liberals. Making money hand over fist with your subsidized money, giving money to China to fund solar panels from China, battery-powered cars, batteries with cobalt mined in the Congo, almost entirely by slave labor, heavily including children. Your taxpayer dollars and borrowed money at work. Yet it's not even producing a good result for the American people. Energy prices have increased by 40% since Biden took office. Gasoline is up over 50%. Electricity is up almost 30%. And while oil is at $90 a barrel, our strategic petroleum reserve is at its lowest level since 1983 because the president has been dumping the strategic petroleum reserve in order to try to keep gas prices down while advancing a radical leftist agenda that is making it impossible for us to have affordable energy. The Inflation Reduction Act expands subsidies for electric vehicles, 78% of which are claimed by Americans making over $100,000. Of course, because the average EV costs $17,000 more than one with the internal combustion engine, which this administration wants to end. They don't want you to have an affordable car. And then Secretary Granholm decides to go on a trek across the country to prove how great electric vehicles are. Goes up to a charging station. They're running behind. Uh-oh, we got to find a charging station. They take a gas-powered vehicle, put it in a slot, block the slot, so the secretary can get a photo op, and a family with a baby with an EV was sitting there waiting for a slot and couldn't get one. That's your Biden administration at work trying to promote the propaganda of a left-wing radical vision for energy that is destroying the hardworking Americans' ability to live their lives. Poor people across this country, working-class people across this country, are wondering how they can afford a car because of this administration is living in a dreamland that won't dent carbon dioxide. India and China are dumping carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. You can get rid of every internal combustion engine in America and you will drop CO2 production by like 1.5%. It's insane. We're unilaterally disarming our competitiveness, our security advantage with respect to energy, and empowering China in the process. Meanwhile, the Biden administration's EPA has implemented a rule that would force 2/3 of the new vehicles sold in the United States to be EVs by 2030. You can't make this up. That's a direct assault on the well-being of the American people. And what are we in Congress doing about it? We passed a bill today trying to pull back on some of California's nonsense. We're really good at that, ladies and gentlemen. Passing bills, knowing they'll die in the Senate, going home and campaigning about how crazy the administration is, and then putting all our eggs in the basket of one day in the future. Trust us, when we have the biggest majority in the House and we have 60 in the Senate and we have that president one day all at once, trust us, we'll get it done. How's that working out for you? When will we use the tools we have before us right now? We have the power of the purse. Last time I checked, Republicans have the majority in this body. We should use the power of the purse to stop the radical abuses of this president and his administration. Again, spending $2 trillion deficit. Are we going to do anything about it besides, oh, it's a little better than what they would have done? Are we going to do anything about energy? Oh, we passed a bill. Are we going to do anything about it? Are we going to do anything about those health care prices? Are we going to do anything about the continued advancement of COVID tyranny, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, importantly, the subsidy of vaccines to be forced upon American people? Are we going to do anything about it? Anything about the Pentagon? The Department of Justice, instead of focusing on locking up bad guys, and I say this as a former federal prosecutor who locked up a few bad guys, instead of doing that, this Department of Justice is advancing a politicized form of injustice against American citizens and a former president. My friend Scott Smith in Loudoun County. Governor Glenn Youngkin just pardoned Scott Smith. Now, he was targeted as a domestic terrorist in conjunction between the National School Board Association and the Department of Justice for going to a school board meeting to defend his daughter. Mark Houck in Philadelphia. He was targeted, had a SWAT team show up at his door in Philadelphia because he dared to defend his son while engaging in his free speech rights in front of an abortion clinic. The FBI is weaponizing the so-called FACE Act to target pro-life Americans. Overwhelmingly targeting only pro-life Americans when they go engage in their free speech rights. And of course, they're targeting former President Trump. Doing all they can to target the former president while also doing all they can to ensure that Hunter Biden and President Biden do not face justice. Under the Department of Justice, we have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Early this year, the ATF issued a rule banning pistol stabilizing braces that are intended for recruiting shooters with physical disabilities and disabled veterans. That rule potentially makes felons out of up to 40 million Americans. Wasn't made in Congress, wasn't codified here. It was made by bureaucrats. Now they're targeting private sales, trying to promote a universal background check despite the fact Congress has rejected it. How about your food? Will we do anything about food? We're ceding control of our food supplies to foreign nations because our government is making it really difficult, if not impossible, to farm in this country. The USDA projected the U.S. would become a net importer of food for the first time in its entire history in 2023. Foreign ownership of U.S. agricultural land doubled from 2009 to 2019. China's agriculture investment in other nations has grown by more than tenfold since 2009. And Chinese companies are purchasing land near key defense installations. What are we doing about it? What is this Republican majority in this Congress doing about it? The IRS. We're still fully funding an IRS, and it just received a massive expansion. Yet, this IRS targets political opponents. In 2021, the IRS targeted the nonprofit status of my friend Bunny Pounds Group, Christian Engaged, for simply being an organization that encourages Christians to vote. It's not the first time. Remember Lois Lerner? The IRS has a history of this. What are we doing about it? We keep writing the checks to fund the bureaucrats that are at war with the American people. We do it every day. And everybody just shrugs. They just walk around and they say, Chip, don't you understand? The Democrats control the Senate. Joe Biden's in the White House. We just got a position to win an election next year. And then we'll fight. Do you know how many times I've heard that? When I was Senator Cruz's chief of staff 10 years ago, when I was a lawyer in the Senate Judiciary Committee 15 years ago, it's all I've ever heard. Trust us. One day, we will use the power that we have in this body to change the trajectory of this country and to stop this weaponization of the federal government against the American people. And you can't ignore that that's what it is. when the Department of Justice is not blind and it is targeting people based on their political beliefs and targeting a former president instead of the current president because of its political beliefs, that destroys the rule of law in this country. When the Department of Defense is more concerned about being woke than actually being weaponized against our enemies, that destroys morale and recruiting. When the IRS is targeting people for their political beliefs, you don't have faith in your system of government. When your energy department is more concerned about advancing a radical leftist agenda than ensuring our own national security and our own ability to power our people, our jobs, our ability to travel, you're funding the very mechanisms of the government that are undermining the liberty and the freedom of people's right to go have a job, right to go provide for their family. And perhaps worst of all, the southern border. In July alone, Border Patrol encountered across this country 240-something thousand individuals. Reports today indicate that preliminary CBP data show migrant encounters for August are on track to surpass 230,000, making it the sixth month of 2023 above 200,000. On Tuesday, reports surfaced that CBP apprehended more than 7,300 individuals across the southern border, I believe maybe 9,000 nationally. Three of the four busiest Border Patrol sectors were in Texas, the El Paso sector at 1,100 illegal crossings, the RGV sector, 1,400, the Del Rio sector, 1,800. We've had 10,000 criminals caught at the border in FY23. But here's the thing. With over a million gotaways, who are we not catching? What do we do about the stories we just saw unfold in Pennsylvania, where a guy was charged with crimes in Brazil, came to our country, brutally stabbed to death his girlfriend, then he's on a jailbreak in Pennsylvania, illegal, not legally present? How about the 11-year-old boy in Ohio who just died because someone released by the president ran into a school bus on the first day of school, an 11-year-old boy dead by someone here illegally released by this president? According to the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security, DHS has the wrong addresses for 177,000 of the nearly 1 million people released into the United States between the spring of 21 and the summer of 22. Think about that. Many of those addresses were used more than 50 times each. A car dealership, a bus station, a restaurant in Maryland, a church in Illinois were the addresses used. Who are they and where are they? If 99% of them are great people looking for a better way of life, God bless them. What about the other 1%? You feel good about that? You feel secure in the United States, do you? Because as you drive around your suburban enclaves and you feel safe and secure, this is going to catch up to you. Just like the New Yorkers who are starting to wake up and say, oh, this is kind of a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. The problem is there's a human toll. These are human beings. An illegal immigrant in Baltimore who was being held up for ransom for $23,000 while his wife and little girl were in a stash house in Fort Worth, Texas, and they called him up and said, we're going to rape your little girl if you don't give us $23,000. Is that what we're for in this country? Are we for perpetuating the sex trafficking trade, human trafficking trade, and slave labor? Are we for what's happening to our Border Patrol, where we're losing Border Patrol because they're being lied about by this Department of Homeland Security? Are we for a million people being released into the United States in a year? Are we for the criminal activity we just saw in Pennsylvania or the boy in Ohio? Are we for all of the migrants now in New York? Are we for the young man who came in as an unaccompanied alien child? A family took him into his home and he stabbed the father and killed him? Is that what we're for? And if we're not for it, what the hell are we going to do about it? Besides preen, posture, campaign, and say, oh, yeah, we're going to do something about the border one day. Trust us, one day. Well, that day is now. If we don't secure the United States, we shouldn't fund the agencies that refuse to secure it. That's what this is about. When my Democratic colleagues complain in October if we're unable to find a resolution to fund the United States government, I want them to look squarely in the mirror. It is you who is causing it. It is you who is abandoning your responsibility to secure the border of the United States. It is you that is causing little girls to get sold in the sex trafficking trade. It is you that is causing ranches in Texas to get overrun. It is you that is causing criminals to get released into the United States. It is you that is undermining our strength in the Western Hemisphere, empowering China, empowering cartels to undermine our national security. And over my dead body, am I going to say that I'm going to support funding a government that refuses to do its job to secure the border? And that's what the House of Representatives should be saying in unison to a president flouting the law. That's what this is about. Our founders gave us the power of the purse. James Madison wrote about it in the Federalist Papers. It's not just a happenstance that the House of Representatives has that power. In the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote, when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them, the people, under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. When they created our government and gave us the Constitution, they gave us tools to avoid that. But let's be very clear. What happened to us? That declaration outlined 27 grievances. I've listed more than that just here. A complete abandonment of the job and the responsibility of the federal government, leaving the state of Texas $10 billion poorer while it tries to do the job the federal government is supposed to do. The American colonists protested because they weren't represented in Parliament. I would suggest right now that the American people, frankly, aren't being well represented in this body. Because this body is letting the executive branch run over them every bit as much as King George III was doing to the colonists in 1776. You think it's hyperbole. Look at our border. Look at our system of justice. Look at our energy economy. Look at our level of spending. A complete abandonment of our job. Where are we? Why even go home this weekend? Why were we gone in August? Why are we right here forcing the conversation, forcing Senator Schumer and the president to come down to the Republican-led House of Representatives and say enough? It's enough. Enough to open borders, enough to a devastating energy policy, enough to lawlessness, enough to targeting the American people. Enough words, enough promises. It's time to fight. And if we're not going to secure the United States of America, we shouldn't fund the government that refuses to do so. We should stand up and fight to defend the people that sent us here to fight for them. I yield back.
Okay. I had to play that because he actually said some things there that he didn't just go against the Republic, against the Democrats. He came against the Republicans. He came against everybody in our government because they're not doing their job. Plain and simple. And until the government...
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, and until the government starts doing their job, we should start making sure that they stop funding these organizations that won't do their job. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, if you're a Republican, you know, there's just way too many Republicans that don't want to admit that, you know, and fess up that, yeah, I've been part of the problem too, you know. Republican legislators that are supposed to be conservative, and yet they do all these, you know, backdoor deals with their Democrat counterparts, you know,
mm-hmm.
and this is what we have, you know, this is what we have. And I like what he has to say. You know, we literally, like, how many of us, of we people, you know, we vote and we get these representatives in. How many people can honestly say that they actually feel represented? How many people can actually say that the people they voted for are actually doing all the shit that they promised to do when during their campaign?
Yep.
I don't think there's a whole lot of us that can honestly say that, yeah, I feel totally represented, that the people that I voted for locally all the way on up to federally are doing what they promised that they were going to do, that they're mm-hmm. reining in the spending, that they're actually, you know, serving the people instead of themselves. I don't think a whole lot of us can honestly answer that question as a yes.
Well, every time they do a thing like a budget cut, it's never a budget cut for now. It's over the next 10 years. And there's a reason why they do it that way. It's because in 10 years, you could have several presidents. They're not going to, that new president isn't going to be held to what they said. So that cut very seldom ever happens because it's after over 10 years. They need to start cutting now, not over 10 years, but now. And I've got 225 raising his hand. I'll bring him in. Hello.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. Hello.
How are you doing?
Hi, Laurie. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. And Chip Roy is right. Chip Roy is right there. You know, we need to keep hammering. And, you know, we talk about corruption all the time because it's all over the place. But it's not just the obvious. You know, we can see where we can see it. You know, it's not just the, you know, the Obamas, and the Bidens and stuff. It cuts across both parties, right?
Yep.
I mean, I've said this before about McConnell. McConnell is as corrupt as can be. Yeah, he's got his health problems, but he's as corrupt as can be, and his wife is his handler. He's a Chinese. He's just like Biden. He's sold out to the Chinese. His wife is his handler, you know? So, yeah, when he talks about the corruption in the party, oh yeah, Chip Roy was right. He goes, okay, when we get the House and then get the Senate and we get the president, you know, well, we had that in 2018 or 2017, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and nothing came of it because we had too many people that were against Trump, that didn't like Trump, and if they would have just went with the flow and went with what Trump wanted to do, we could have kept this thing going. But again, the corruption and the lack of wanting to do the actual work got us, right?
Yep. You know, and that's one of the things that I liked about what Chip Roy was saying there. He's a Republican, but he went after everybody. He went after the Republicans. He went after the Democrats. And that's the way it needs to be. He pretty much said that, you know, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, if you're not for trying to fix this country, you shouldn't be there.
Right.
And
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's the thing. If you want to, we get these guys, particularly on the Republican. We know the Democrats don't want to fix the country. In fact, the Democrats want to destroy the country. We know that. That's a given, right? That's
mm-hmm.
a given. Well, when the Republicans come in and say, we're going to fix stuff and nothing gets fixed, what do you think people are going to think? Right?
Well, that's why when the Republicans take over and get everything that they ask for and they don't do what they told the American people they're going to do, that's why they lose their positions.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that was Chip Roy's point. He's basically saying to the Republicans, do you want to get more people here? Well, there are things you can do to get more people in our conference. There are things you can do to do that, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
Are there enough Republicans that want to do those things? I'm not sure. But, I mean, and one of them is to force Biden to shut down the government. All right? That's a tactic that can be a winning tactic if they want to do it.
And if they do it the right way.
Right, and if they do it the right way. But again, when you've got people like McCarthy who are working against stuff like that and want to, I'm going to go off and work with Hakeem Jeffries, basically making Jeffries the Speaker of the House, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working with Hakeem Jeffries. I'm working with, in the Senate, I'm working with Schumer and of course, McConnell, We just don't have enough people that think like Chip Roy yet. I mean, we got Marjorie Taylor Greene and people like that, but we don't have enough, and we don't have enough close to enough in the Senate. I mean, we need, frankly, we need to do something needs to be done with McConnell. We know he has his health problems. We know he's 80-some years old, in his 80s and stuff. He needs to go away. He can't be just hoping to stick around just to be a placeholder. We need that spot for a guy that's going to do the work,
mm-hmm.
that needs to be done.
Well, that's what I've been pretty much saying over the last couple of months. Anybody who is in our government who is not doing the job that they campaigned to do to get that position, they need to be taken out of office. If they're not going to do their job, they need to be taken out. And if there is no way to get them out other than an election, then we need to do it with the elections.
Right. And that's the thing now. One thing that needs to happen, though, for the sake of argument, if the Republicans do take towards the Senate, the thing that needs to happen is that the dress code that just got taken away because of what's his name from Pennsylvania, dressing like he dresses.
Fetterman,
yeah, dressing like he's dressing. That dress code needs to be reinstated, and if Fetterman refuses to dress it, then you say you're in contempt of the Senate, and you put the guy in jail.
Or at least make sure he can't get there to be on the Senate floor. And there's already a couple who are trying to push the dress code back into it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I mean, you know, when Schumer did that, it was him admitting that he didn't want to do anything about Fetterman when Schumer did that. Of course he's not going to do anything. He's a Democrat, right? Of course he's not going to do anything about Fetterman. He wants to be able to keep that, keep the majority, right?
Right.
If he did something about Fetterman, then if he kept the dress code, he would have to do something about it, and would it cause the people in Pennsylvania to come back and relook at that election and possibly take Fetterman out of that office? Maybe, maybe not. But he would. But the point is Schumer would have to do something about it if he kept the dress code.
Yep.
He don't want to do it. He don't want to be the leader that he's supposed to be and do something about something, you know?
What we need to return to is pretty much the way that the Democrat Party and the Republican Party were back when John F. Kennedy was the president. They had their differences back then, but when it came down to it, they were both working for the good of the country. Now they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a damn about the country. They don't give a damn about anything except the money they can make doing the things they're doing.
Right. And here's something else to think about. There were a number of people that Trump supported, particularly in the Senate, that didn't win. And you know why they didn't win? Because the Senate campaign committee, you know, did not give them the money to win, because the people like McConnell didn't like Trump because these guys were obviously, you know, endorsed by Trump, right?
Yeah.
So you need to the Republicans need to put their animus against Trump aside. These Never Trumpers need to be rooted out, and they need to put their aside, because you know that Trump's going to endorse some people in the next election. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know he's going to endorse them. And those guys that get that endorsement, if Trump's the true leader of the party, which I suspect he is, but if he's the true leader of the party, then the guys that he endorses should be getting money, should be getting the tools that they need to get elected.
Yep. And then when they get elected, they need to do the things that they campaigned they were going to do. If that's what got
right.
them elected, they need to do what they campaigned to get the office in.
Right. For instance, I give you a good example, Robert. The general feel is that Kerry Lake is going to run for Senate in Arizona.
I've heard that.
And I guarantee you that Trump will endorse her. All right? So
mm-hmm.
Trump endorses her. She runs. Trump endorses her. Then she needs to be able to get the tools available to defeat the Mark Kellys, you know, or whomever she's going to be running against in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what needs to happen. And look, I don't like McConnell, but the thing is McConnell, and we've seen his problems. We've seen him freeze at press conferences, and his eyes look like darting from side to side, and like he's kind of having a seizure, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that guy is that bad enough, he needs to retire.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
They need to get somebody else in that office. Now, if he retires and they end up having them, you know, I mean, apparently he's not retiring because he fears that the Democrat governor of Kentucky is going to put a Democrat in that office, you know, appoint a Democrat to that office. I mean, it's all political, but But again, the guy is not healthy enough to do the job. Just like Biden is not healthy enough to do his job.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And all of these people who cannot do their jobs or cannot do the things that they're supposed to be doing as president or as senator or as a congressperson, they need to be taken out. That, you know, if they can't mm-hmm. do their jobs, they don't deserve to be there.
Yep.
Lori,
yep.
You there?
Oh.
I guess she's not.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You were.
Yeah, she's there. Sounds like she's there.
Very quiet.
Well, yeah, I was just listening. I didn't want to interrupt, but I do have something real quick. So hold your thoughts here. So real quickly.
Happy birthday to you, and I hope you have many more. Happy birthday to you, and I hope you have many more. I hope all your dreams come marching through that door. I hope you get what you want, and you want what you're wishing for. I hope you get what you want, and you want what you're wishing for. And when you get what you want, thank your lucky star. Too, so this birthday boogie is just for you. Now that you're surrounded with the things you adore, I'll holler happy birthday just once more. Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Well, thank you, Lori.
You're welcome. Happy, happy birthday. I just yep. had to be sneaky, didn't I?
Yep. Well, I've reached an age I never thought I'd reach, so I still feel pretty vital anyway.
Oh, well, man. If you still got your mind and you still got your health, then you're doing good.
Yep. And then yesterday I got my car fixed, so and I did that myself. So,
yay! Yep. One less headache.
That was my birthday present to myself, I think.
Yeah.
And now I can take my car out and drive it and have people who drive Teslas sit there and say, "Oh, you bad person, you're driving a Mustang GT. You're spewing out gasoline, all kinds of stuff."
Well, then you can...
Then
Robert, what you can tell him is, at least I'm going to get to where I'm going to go.
Well, I can also tell him at least I don't need a train full of coal to get my electricity for my car.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truth Sharp just asked me how old I am. I just turned 71, so I'm a little bit older than I ever thought I'd get to be. But
I don't know, man. I wonder if I'm going to make it that long. I'm wondering if I even want to make it that long at this point. Like, I'm 50 now, so do I really want to, like, be alive to see what America becomes over the next 21 years? I'm kind of wondering.
I guess not. You and I are the same age, Laurie. So yeah, I'm kind of wondering that as well. You know, do I want to live another 25 years?
We'll see what the hell the
Democrats and Republicans
do. Yeah,
I know. And like, what
is,
you know, what do
country?
We really have to look forward to? Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I was just saying, whatever's going to happen, you know, it really is up to we the people. If we want this kind of thing to stop, then we stop voting for people who will not do what they need to do to save this country. It's a simple problem, but the problem with that one is that nobody thinks alike.
Yeah, well, I think we could get, you know, like when we're talking about Fetterman, you know, I'm like, okay, so the whole dress code thing is what people are having issue with. It's like, I really don't care about the dress code thing. I care about the fact that this guy, Talley, not able to perform his duties. It's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a president. We have, you know, several members. You know, you got Feinstein. You got Pelosi. You got McConnell. It's like, how incompetent, how, you know, mentally deficient does somebody have to be before we finally kick them out, you know? And it's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I think that we can find, if we actually start looking and start actually going across the aisles with each other, we can find that we have a lot of the same
mm-hmm.
complaints and a lot of the same issues that need to be addressed that we can align on and agree on, you know? Spending
mm-hmm.
being out of control, you know, and, you know, all of this stuff, you know, the border, you know, I think that there's a lot more Democrats out there that are getting more and more concerned about what's going on with our border and this uncontrolled influx that's going on than what they want to admit to. You know, they just don't want to look bad in front of their counterparts.
Yeah.
They don't want to deviate from, you know, their party's platform and position on things. They're too chicken shit, you know, is
mm-hmm.
the problem. And so it's kind of like, you know, I that's why I like that clip that you played. It's like, that's what Chip Roy was saying. Stop being chicken shits, everybody, and do your job, you know. Be more
mm-hmm.
loyal to the
mm-hmm.
American people than you are to your party, and or that you are to yourself in your own position as a representative, you know. Quit,
mm-hmm.
quit being more loyal to covering your own ass, you know, than you are to the American people you're supposed to represent.
Yeah.
Right.
And
well,
one of the things that I did a couple weeks ago, I think it was during I don't know if it was on my show or if it was on one of my updates, but I had mentioned the fact that out of all the presidents that we have had over the last 50 years, there's only one that didn't get rich being a president. And that was Trump. And he lost a lot of money in that process, but everybody
mm-hmm.
else got rich. Obama got rich. Biden got rich. Bush got rich. Of course, he already had money, but he gained a lot of money. Trump was already rich, but he lost a lot of money while he was president. Plus the fact he gave all
right.
of his proceeds, that his quarterly checks, to different charities or whatever he gave them to, but he didn't keep them.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, as far as the dress code thing, Lorianne, thing with the dress code is, you know, it's a sign of respect. It's a sign of you're here to do a job. You got to look the part, and you got to be able to, you know, you got to be able to look the part, right? You got to be able to do time and memorial. What is the thing that stood out? They were always nice guys in nice suits or gals, guys in nice suits or gals, you know, dressed really nice and stuff like that. And then you get this guy who obviously has health problems. And obviously the reason why they're doing this is because he doesn't have the respect enough to at least try to put a nice suit on to go into the well of the Senate, right? Everybody else says, even McConnell, who we know has his health problems, he shows up in a suit, right?
Yeah, he does.
You know, so that's the point. That's the point. The respect or lack thereof in terms of him. And this is a guy, we know this is a guy that has his health problems in Fetterman. I mean, you really can't. He should be recovering in some, I don't want to say home, but in some hospital or someplace. He shouldn't be in the Senate. He should be recovering. He should never have been a lieutenant governor or whatever it was in Pennsylvania. He should never have been that either. He should have been recovering, you know, from his thing, right? And that's the thing. They do this the last couple of times. They've done this. They put guys with obvious problems in places that they should never be. Forget the fact that they cheated to get Biden there. Biden, it's been proven that Biden had a couple of brain aneurysms back in the late 80s, right?
Yep.
Right? So it's like, okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, they go, he's had these aneurysms, and they go in and, quote, fix it, right? He still had them. There's still effects from, even after they fix it, even after they, quote, fix it, there's still effects from those aneurysms, and they don't get better. They get worse over time, and we've seen it. They've gotten worse over time. To the point
on top of that, he has to have therapy and stuff like that. And I seriously doubt if he's getting that. I just added Joe in there, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm here. You know, my question is this, and if anybody can answer, how do you make, if, for instance, if you know a public official or a state agency licensing board or what have you or any agency is violating a state law. I mean, they're just flat out violating it. How do you make them or compel them to obey the law? What proceedings do you, or what remedy do you have as a citizen? That's my question to everybody.
Well, here in New Mexico, we're actually in the process of trying to impeach our governor, which will take her out of office. And it's kind of like going to be an uphill battle here because this state is liberal. But the impeachment papers have already been filled out. I've already signed them. I made some T-shirts today that I'm going to start selling and getting out there that says "Impeach MLJ, MLG, the Broom Rider," and got a picture of her.
But that's a statewide thing. That's a statewide thing. I'm talking about just say, for instance, somebody violated your individual rights. What could you do as a citizen to enforce your rights and make them, because, you know, everybody out there has their own battles, and some people out there feel like they don't have a chance to fight, or they feel like there's no justice, they can't seek justice. Yeah, when you hear about 150 or 2,000 people getting together to do something, yeah, it feels good to be a part of the pack. But let's just say you as an individual's rights were violated, or Lorianne's, or somebody else, you know, how do you compel, or how do you make sure that your individual rights are secured? and that you can compel that agency to, you know, make sure that they're not don't violate your rights anymore. What can you do? What's the process? What's the remedy?
Nobody has an answer. get a hold of the right people. But the only problem with that is that there's a lot of people who will, you know, go out and something will happen to them and they'll go to the police or something like that and report it. Then they just sit back and wait for anything to happen. And it just probably will go away. You've got to be pretty much persistent.
Oh, but the police can't handle your rights being violated. If a state agency violates your rights, that's a civil matter, they'll say. You know, that's a civil matter. I'm talking about, just say I'm the mayor, or I'm a councilman, or I'm a senator, or I'm a board member of a licensing board or a state agency in your state, Robert, and you are applying for something, or your rights were violated by, or, you know, I don't uphold the state law or a statute, for instance, that I'm violating your rights by violating a statute. How do you say, hey, Joe, or this guy, this board is violating my rights by not obeying this statute? How do you enforce it? How do you enforce a statute? How do you compel me to obey the statute as a public official?
I'm not really sure, to tell you the truth. I'd have to make noise about it. But the problem is you make noise about it, and then you shut up, and it just goes away.
Yeah, well, some people, go ahead.
You got to keep making noise about it, though. That's the point. You can't stop making noise about it. And Robert, apparently, from what I understand, the impeachment papers that have been filed against your governor are coming. It's a bipartisan effort to get her. It's from both sides.
Yeah. So it was written by John Block and Stephanie Lord, which are John Block is out of Alamogordo and Stephanie Lord is out of Sandia Park. They are the ones who put it together, but it's pretty much bipartisan. Bipartisan.
What's your process in your state to impeach the governor? What's the process? What has to be done?
I don't know. I'd never thought about it. I didn't know that there was an impeachment process here in the state, but apparently there is. I knew there was no process for removing somebody from office, you know, like recalling them. There's nothing in the state about that. But
really?
There is an impeachment thing, and I'm not really sure what it is. It's somewhere in the Constitution of the state, but I'm not sure where it's at.
Now, after you impeach the governor, is she going to be removed? Is she going to be removed if she gets impeached?
I would hope so, yeah. I would think so. But then again, this day and age, I don't know. I really couldn't tell you.
Well, can a governor be impeached? Since there is not a legislative session until January, the first step for this impeachment is to have a special session called on by the governor herself, or three-fifths of the House and Senate. Or three-fifths of the House and Senate would need to agree to call on an extraordinary session. It would take a majority of the state House of members, 36 out of 70, in order to impeach the governor. So that's what you need to have done. You have to have 36 state legislators to agree to impeach the governor. Now, if you say it's bipartisan, why shouldn't there should not be a problem getting 36 out of 70?
Yeah, you'd think. I'm trying to find that thing on the.
Well, you're going out making up T-shirts on this stuff. You know, you got to know the answer to these questions. If you were selling me a T-shirt, I'd be like, "Well, all right, what's going on?" You know.
Yeah. I really don't know about that one. You know, I just didn't even think beforehand that she could be impeached, because I had always heard that she couldn't be removed from office by a recall. And I always, I don't know, in my mind, I always thought that was part of the impeachment process, but I'm just going to have to do some studying on that one.
Yeah. Well, the Senate, well,
yeah,
the Senate always has
like,
the power.
What's the point of having a recall if you can't recall them?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, here's what it says that when I got there, the sole power of impeachment shall be vested in the House of Representatives, and a concurrence of the majority of all the members elected shall be necessary to the proper exercise thereof. All impeachment shall be tried in the Senate. So basically what y'all just said is the case. Now, apparently I'm right, and it's like it's a bipartisan effort. And so if it's a bipartisan effort, then getting that number of 36 isn't going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would think. You know, that,
okay, it says here.
And they could call a special session. What takes so long? Call a special session next Friday. Hey, everybody, let's go. We're going to call a special session. Get your butt down there to the Capitol on next Friday. That's it. Boom, we're going to have a quorum. Bam. That's it. I mean, you hold a vote right there. Boom. Now we pass the resolution. That's it. Send it over to the Senate to prosecute. That's it. Bing, bam. That's it. What the hell takes so long? It's not that hard. Yeah, but don't get me in there. I'm going to tell you right now, that's how I'll be. And if you don't want to do it, people, I'll call them all out. Hey, they're corrupt. This district's corrupt. That district's corrupt. They're all corrupt right there. You see them? That's it.
Right.
Period.
Right.
End of story.
I know in certain cases, the governor has to call a special session, and in that case, it's not going to happen with this person, but I'm guessing that if you got enough lawmakers standing in the House or whatever in New Mexico, I'm guessing that they can call it themselves, a special session themselves, I'm guessing.
In
Section 35 of the Constitution of New Mexico, it says the sole power of impeachment shall be vested in the House of Representatives, and a concurrence of a majority of all the members elected shall be necessary to the proper exercise thereof. All impeachments shall be tried by the Senate. And sitting for that purpose, the senators shall be under oath or affirmation to do justice according to the law and the evidence. When the governor or lieutenant governor is on trial, the chief justice of the court shall preside. No person shall be convicted without the concurrence of 2/3 of the senators elected.
Yep. So what's the purpose of all the signatures? So what's the purpose of that? You see, they're just snowblowing the voters. That's all they're doing. They have a petition go around. The petition don't mean nothing. What's the petition mean? It means nothing. It holds no weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the elected officials. Mm-hmm. See, what they're doing is it's snowblowing everybody. They hope it blows over. Because you know what? Americans have a short attention span. There'll be another issue on the table before this one goes. So that's what they're saying. Wow, we'll pass around a petition, 19,000 signatures we got. Whoa, yeah. It don't mean nothing. You can have a million signatures. It doesn't matter. You just read the law, what has to be done to impeach her, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What the hell is the point of going around selling T-shirts or signing signatures? Get your state representative up there to the Capitol and let's go. Let's go. You said you need, three-fifths, did they say, or two-thirds? Let's go. Go hold a quorum. Hey, contact your people by email. If you got their cell phone number, call them. Let's go. It's not that hard.
I've already contacted mine. He's a liberal Democrat, so I probably won't hear back from him, but I've already contacted him.
That's right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's okay. Vote him out of office then. That's all. Remember that. Get angry. Get mad. They don't want to listen to you people in your district. Get them out of office. Go. You got to go. That's what we got to go out there doing. Talk, all this talk about nonsense. Talk about these people in the district. They don't want to listen to you. They got to go. Make sure, hey, you called your representative, you just said they didn't want to listen to you. Tell your neighbor. Tell their neighbor. Tell the next door neighbor when you stand in line at the grocery store. Yeah, I called my representative. He didn't even pay attention to me. He ignored me. Spread the word. Gossip. You know, instead of talking about the freaking football team on Sunday and how many touchdowns they got scored, well, you know, talk about this stuff. This is what's important.
Yep. I've been talking to everybody who lives in the apartment complex I live in my neighborhood. I've been finding everybody that I can find that will listen to me and talk to me. I'll go ahead and mention it. Down at Walmart, there are a whole bunch of them are down there, and I talk to them in there, too.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. That's what I do. I'm standing at the gas pump pumping gas, man. I'll just start a conversation, man. These gas prices are freaking ridiculous, you know. You know, start talking about, you know, Federal Reserve printing money. I don't know anything. You know, start talking about a conversation. Be surprised. You plant a seed in somebody's head, you know, and you know, these corrupt maggots, even if they don't agree with you, they're going to think about what you said down the road, you know. They're going to think about it.
Yep, that's for sure. Yeah, we got Serge in there now. I think hopefully he'll be raising his hand. So I'll bring him in there.
Okay.
Is this Serge?
Hello there, Robert. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bobby boy. Happy birthday to you. Thank you very much. No applause, no applause.
That's pretty good, Sarge.
Okay, so what's the topic here tonight, fellas?
Well, I've been rambling on and on and on. I'm going to shut up now. You missed it, man, I guess.
Well, you and I were just in another venue a moment ago. I just couldn't resist straightening out a certain blithering idiot, deep spewing his lies. So, you know, I'll say no more other than that.
Well, I actually got some calls about that.
A blithering idiot?
Yeah,
what
Warren.
What blithering idiot could you be referring to?
Yeah, I don't mind. I really don't mind the position he takes. It's the outright demagogic distortion and lies that he does. That's what.
Well, I got a lot of feedback on that, Sarge.
He's got the opinions he has because he's got the right to them. I got no problem with taking them on, but he cannot be honest. He is the biggest liar I've ever seen about the very things you say. He'll literally say the things you said were not the things you said, and he'll distort them to suit his own purposes. He is a classical demagogue.
Yeah, then if you play what you said, he says, "Oh, you just changed that so that it sounds like it's what you said."
Yeah, and again, it's not the fact that he's worth all that much or he's that significant. He is so typical of his class. I mean, they're all like that. The ones that are more well-known, the ones that have greater influence, they all speak this way. It's like they say with Donald Trump. They repeat the big lie over and over and over and over again, that he led an insurrection, that he said Confederates and neo-Nazis and racists were good people, too. They say these things over and over again, despite the fact he literally did not say it when you watch it in real time.
But
they do this. They believe in the big repetition, the big lie. Repeat it over and over again. It is their tactic. It is the one they said they had to do. Sergei Netanyahu, the guy who wrote the Revolutionary Manifesto, he laid all that stuff out. That's why we need to talk about Marxism. I was saying to Joe, we need to have a show where we go into depth the tactics of Marxism and socialism. A lot of us can identify it when we hear it. But everybody these days is talking like a Marxist, and they don't even realize. They have unconsciously adopted the tropes of Marxism. They are everywhere because academia has instilled them in all the students. The culture in large has instilled elements of class warfare and Marxist dicta all over the place. People don't even realize the tenets of Marxism they're adopting. It's like they try to tell me I don't realize how I've internalized elements of white supremacy. And they tell me that over and over again. And then they try to point out to me how I'm missing out on these elements of white supremacy I've supposedly internalized. Well, the same thing with Marxism. People don't even realize the things they've adopted. Well, I mean, we need to have a show, somehow coordinate a show with Laurie, you, and Joe, I think, and also Joe from Montana. We'll bring him in, too. He's pretty good at kind of moderating this stuff. Well,
and
we can actually talk about how Marxism was created, what its belief systems are, and how it's permutated into an American-style philosophy.
You know, what was the name of the lady that had that said basically that politics comes largely out of the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, that was Mao Tse-tung, but Anita Dunn, who was she was the Treasury Secretary under Barack Obama. She was an aficionado of Mao Tse-tung, and she was fond of that quote, but although she didn't say it publicly.
Well, she said it over mics, a live mic somewhere, so it was kind of public, but
when Mao said that, that is literally true, because we got to keep remembering all governments rely upon either the actual or implied use of force in order to maintain their legitimacy and their supremacy as far as, you know, being the masters of force. Because all governments have to rely ultimately on force either to protect the nation or to quell internal dissent that could become violent. So I don't have a problem with the statement itself. The problem with Mao and the context he said it in is that he means it's the only thing about a government maintaining power. Nothing about representative government or the will of the people and the voice of the people figuring into the power dynamics. The gun itself, the threat of violence itself, is all the government needs to be about. That's what he meant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. We got,
let's not fool ourselves about any government. They all rest on the threat of force or the use of force. All of them, no exceptions, or they won't exist.
Yeah, this Warren guy, I've never listened to him. I've never met him, whatever. But he sounds like, generally speaking, what Bongino says about liberals anyway. And he sounds like it's not – hypocrisy. He doesn't do hypocrisy. He doesn't believe in it. He sounds like a hierarchy with them, meaning he has the power and you don't, and he can say whatever he wants and he cannot be called on it.
No.
You know? And that's what he's a true believer.
He's a fanatic. The word fanatic literally applies to him. He's not amenable to reason or reasoned argument. He isn't. He doesn't want to hear it. And when he hears it, he will distort it for his own ends.
Yeah, and he went after my show one week and played, he did a show against what I was talking about, and then he went and played it three or four times during the week, so he made sure that everybody heard it, and then he went after Vincent, who does his show on Saturday, and he did the same thing, played that show three or four times, bashing what Vincent says. So
he just did it again tonight. We just got off the air with him. I didn't even try to call into him because that's a useless, that's exercising futility, because he knows I got his number. That's why he doesn't want to deal with me, because he knows he cannot out-debate me. He knows he cannot face me in a head-up contest. He knows it. So that's why he comes up with the excuse that I'm beneath him, and he only wants to talk to my white masters. And by the way, if there's any white people out there whatsoever with whom will not curb my tongue or require me to hold in my opinions, and they want to pay me, you got Sarge. You can pay me. I will proclaim it to the world that you white person are paying me to speak the opinions that I'm now expressing for free. So I just want Warren to hear that in the whole world. If any white person out there wants to pay me for the opinions I'm currently expressing for free, be my guest. I'll tell Warren that in a minute.
Well, I contacted BTR about him doing that, and then Lori Ann came in and put in a bunch of things that she got from the chat room and from clips from his show and stuff like that. I got a thing today saying that they were looking into that, and they will determine it and figure it out internally.
He has done 3 shows in a row on you, me, Pianki, and Vince. He even got the name for us, Black Emotional Support Dog. I mean, I think we bother him more than you white people do, because we're race traitors. You know, I mean, we don't have racial allegiance.
Yeah. Every time you call into our shows, we're going to go, rough, rough.
Yeah. You need to start doing that. Be a good way. Yeah, good. Yeah, do that. Yeah, rough, rough, rough. Yeah, we can do that. But look here, like I said, you know, that's dehumanization. That literally is dehumanization. That is exactly the thing that he accuses white people of doing. He does exactly the same thing they do. We don't have our own agency. We don't have our own opinions. We haven't come to them honestly after much meditation and thought. No, we're simply responding to the commands of white people. He is imbuing white people with the ultimate control over our minds. He is doing exactly what he accused racists of doing. I mean, this guy is the biggest hypocrite on the earth. But again, when you're a fanatic like he is, hypocrisy is not the issue. He's a fanatic. I mean, like I said, I don't mind him. The views he has are the views he has. I wouldn't mind any day of the week an honest debate with him about him with proper moderation, because that's the only way you're going to get him under control. You got to have a moderator who reins both of us in so we both have an equal amount of time to talk and we both get things. I wouldn't mind it a bit. But he is absolutely the most dishonest person on Blog Talk. He is dishonest. He's a sniveling, wheezing. He's a liar of the first rank. He just keeps, when you give him an opportunity to prove, for instance, you're a fraud, and particularly when you want to put money on the line, he won't accept it. I mean, he's so certain that, you know, for instance, I'm a fraud, well, he can pick up an easy $2,000. It's easy. But he won't do it because he knows what's going to happen if he does it. I mean, the guy is pathetic. I mean, he really is. And like I said, I think the only use he really has is as an object lesson in what we're up against, one that is readily accessible and close to where we are here on Blog Talk. I mean, he's an object lesson in what we're up against.
I happen to like him. I think he's a great
intellect. Got that right. And by the way, yes, hi, Montana Joe.
Hi, Montana Joe.
Hey, about you, man. I was just talking about you.
I just got here. I've been listening for the last 4 minutes or so. So what were you saying, Sarge?
Well, I was just saying, I was pitching the idea to Laurie, to Robert, Joseph, coordinating our efforts to speak to people as to what Marxism is, because Marxism is so thoroughly inculcated into American everyday life, in elements of it, that is, with academia, media, politics, that a lot of people are completely unaware of these are Marxist tenets. We hear them all the time. People are just, I mean, it is so thorough. And the tactics they use, they've adopted it to an American style of politics, and the one thing about Marxism is it's very malleable, it's very mutative, it mutates in all kind of forms, but at its core, it's still about class warfare, dialectical materialism, and subversion of the existing institutions. And a lot of people don't even recognize it for what it is.
Absolutely.
Because I'm so normalized.
Yeah, but what were you saying about me?
When we do the show, wherever we do it, if, you know, Laurie, Joe, Robert, we coordinated on 3 platforms somehow. I'm not exactly sure of the mechanism, but I was saying we get Joe to be the moderator because Joe's a very good moderator, and I'm sure we could really expose it for what it is and the extent to which it's infiltrated American public life.
So who do you have to
First
be
of all,
the
just
opponent?
By going over history of it and explaining to people what it really is.
Now, who do you have to be the opponent when we do the debate?
I don't know yet. Actually, I wouldn't mind getting Warren out there.
You got to be
kidding. I like to think in a properly moderated context, I'm not worried about him at all.
Right.
That's why he won't debate me, because he knows in a properly moderated context, he's got not a prayer against it. But absent Warren, I'd like anybody he thinks would be worthy to bring one of his college professors. Well,
I would think Nash. I would think Nash because Warren
would be fine. And Nash have faced off a bunch of times.
Yeah, at least Nash. We might not agree politically on some stuff, but at least Nash is like, you can talk to him, you know, and he can talk to you. You can have a rational discussion with the guy.
But,
To have an honest debate with Warren is like an oxymoron. It can never happen because he's not honest.
Right.
Nash used to get nasty with me once, but he kind of calmed that down. And now me and him have we don't agree, but we have rational discussions, and we don't call each other names. And that's all. That's all I'm looking for.
Well, if I was the moderator, it wouldn't matter who the people would be. We would be competing against each other. They would not be calling each other names.
I would like to have a worthy opponent, though. I mean, I think Warren's kind of a pushover, so I'm going to be worried about him. But that's why he wants to debate me. He knows he's got no chance to properly moderate a debate against me. He knows it. That's why he won't come on against me.
No, that's what I was thinking. That's why I was asking if you wanted to have a, who the opponent would be. I wouldn't think would want to be Warren, because Warren would only... exercise, crudeness and try to change the subject to China and then try to, try to insult you, then I'd have to mute him again.
Yeah. Well, actually, like I said, he won't. He says to debate me is beneath him because I'm just a black emotional comfort dog. So he wants to talk to my masters. He doesn't want to talk to me.
Okay, well.
We just brought in Dave from Florida, so he's in there now.
How are you?
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Hey.
This is the first time going to Miami, Florida. I'm a young guy. I'm 22 years old. My name is David. I've been listening to you guys for a little bit on Blog Talk, and I have to say I'm a little bit inclined by this debate proposition. Not for me, but maybe I could tickle your tail with a little bit of devil's advocacy, if you know what I mean.
Be my guest. At least I think everybody agrees with that. We love debate on this here platform.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, but it's Bob's show, and, whenever he wants to have the debate,
I'm just trying to hear what the topic of discussion is. I'm trying to get it on the circle.
Oh, okay.
Well, what we're talking about immediately is we're talking about this one particular host on this platform who regularly distorts what we say into things that we don't say. And it's classical Marxist technique. There's a gentleman named Saul Alinsky who wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. He was inspired by a guy named Sergei Nikyaev, who was a Russian who wrote the Revolutionary Manifesto. And it's all about ridiculing, freezing, and polarizing your opponents. And this guy, I call him Brother Warren. He does this show on Blog Talk, and he regularly does that with Robert, another guy on Robert's platforms called Vincent, another gentleman named Pianchi, and me, who are regular contributors to these shows, and he utterly distorts everything we say. I mean, it doesn't matter what we say. Like, we were speaking about the Florida curriculum, and the Florida curriculum has a section in it done by an esteemed African-American scholar named Allen, who says that slaves, during slavery, many slaves, or even some slaves, acquired skills that redounded to their benefit when they were no longer enslaved. And that is literally...
You know what? Let me stop you right there. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Is that another radio station on Blog Talk? I can't stand them.
His name is Brother Warren, New Orleans Wake Up.
I've heard him. As a matter of fact, I heard him today, and that's kind of how I found you guys. And now, it kind of leads me into another question. As a young person myself, I'm only 22 years old, and for the record, I actually am very familiar with Sergei's work. My parents are Bulgarian, and I've looked into Marxism extensively. And now let me ask you, as far as the American culture war, how do you think that the Republicans have been effectively strategizing pretty young women such as Candace Owens to perhaps enthuse these young men who are directionless liberals perhaps?
Are you saying that Candace Owens' appeal is based on her charm and her beauty alone?
Certainly not, but it is a very large factor.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, people regularly pick charismatic and appealing people to espouse their point of views, but Candace Owens makes some very substantive observations and commentary. as well.
Yes, but Candace Owens has also been pandering to the left in many, many ways. And you can look at this if you just step on 4chan for a minute and you look at the incel hubs. I mean, there's just a huge community.
You said she was pandering to the left?
There's a huge community of sissy femmes on 4chan, and they've all been inspired by Candace Owens. You can look at this just by clicking on the 4chan.
Oh, well, I don't know about that part of it. You'll have to enlighten me on that.
Wait a minute. You're
all
saying
I know is what I've heard her say.
Yeah, no, I think
when
I
she
know
comes
that.
On other platforms. She absolutely perfectly nailed. One thing that really blew me away that I hadn't even considered was the way she nailed the controversy with Dylan Mulvaney, and she explained one of the main reasons as to why there was so much backlash against him. She put it in terms that hadn't even occurred to me, and I said, man, that's a very perceptive observation. And she does that things like that all the time. That's why I like her.
He's talking about OnlyFans right now, and you said that she got some people fired from OnlyFans. Is that what you said?
No, I said that she was inspiring a community of sissy femmes on 4chan.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but to expand on that.
Sycophants. You said sycophants?
No, sissy femmes.
Sissy femmes?
Yes, an extension of the incel community on 4chan. Very well known. But Candace Owens, what do you think of the resemblance?
I really can't speak to that because I'm not aware of any such following that she has.
The resemblance, it's striking. I mean, she's inspired this community of sissy femmes on 4chan, and they're doing terrible things. They're creating these videos, and they're sending them to children every single day. It's called sissy femme washing.
Do you hold her accountable for this? Did she inspire them and incite them to do this?
That I cannot speak on, but it would be, I cannot overlook that. It seems as if it would be in her ballpark.
I mean, you know, people saying that about Donald Trump, they're saying he incited an insurrection. It doesn't make
right.
It so.
Right, but Donald Trump is an effective leader of the country, and, you know, his speaking of which, how do we feel about the inevitable re-election of Donald Trump in 2024?
Only if there is election integrity will there be an inevitable re-election of Donald Trump. If there is, I welcome it. I don't think it's going to happen without a substantive reform of election laws in at least 5 or 6 states.
Okay, I just brought Vincent in from my other show, so. He's in here now,
okay.
Too.
All right. Why, are you against Donald Trump, sir? I mean, do you not think that Donald Trump should be reelected? I mean, what's your opinion on this, Donald Trump?
Absolutely not. I voted for Trump in the 2020 term. I voted for Trump in the 2020 term, and I think the election was stolen by the Russians.
I don't think that. But I do think it was stolen, no doubt about that.
Russian interference was undeniable. There are servers in Thailand and all across the world now with large computers mining Bitcoin and creating false profiles on Twitter, Instagram, all of the major social media profiles to create this false narrative online. And that was a very, very major thing in the 2020 election.
Well, for me, I'm kind of agnostic on the electronic voting machine manipulation theory, other than where it's been absolutely corroborated, like in Arizona, where ballots were literally improperly printed owing to software glitches and things like that. I mean, I'm not agnostic there, but I think the election was really primarily stolen through the illicit and illegal and unconstitutional alteration of voting laws, allowing universal mail-in balloting and a ballot harvesting through drop boxes. I think there's no doubt the election was stolen there. The electronic thing might have been part of it too, but I'm absolutely certain the other things were more of it than that.
Absolutely, and Joe Biden, every single time they put him on stage, they inject him with trenbolone. And this is White House standard.
Something they injected him with, formaldehyde or something, I don't know, but something keeping him going.
Well, listen, I love this trip. I'm going to keep listening, but I'm on my way to work right now at 10:40 p.m. in Florida, and I love to stay, guys, but I got to get going.
All right, well, whenever you're ready, call back in. I'm sure Robert would love to hear from you too, right?
Right.
Or tune in Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Sunday night, to my show. I'm glad that you called in tonight, Dave. It's good to have you on. So welcome to the show, and definitely follow us. I'm on Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian. And then, as Joe Gibson said, he has his show on. Restoring the Republic on Tuesday night. So, yeah, we've got a good group of people here. And then Vincent, of course, Black by Color only. Vincent just got brought on here earlier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad to be part of it, guys.
But, you're missing the fact that there's a rumor that to keep him up and about, they've been giving Biden cocaine.
All right.
Multiple injections.
But if Biden White cocaine was found.
Well, they're missing the A. They, for some reason, the Secret Service destroyed the bag that the cocaine was in. I mean, why would
they
do
like
that?
We're getting like the liberals now.
So maybe it has fingerprints on it or something. Why would they do
we're getting
that?
Getting like the liberals.
Why would they do that? Why would they do
that? Why did the Secret Service destroy the bag of cocaine that was evidence?
There was never no cocaine in the White House. It was all big. That's all big crock of crap anyway. Nobody knows it was there or not, you know? Come on. That's corporate media brainwashing us.
I'm saying that's what the authorities said it was.
What authority?
The Secret Service.
That's why they're secret.
We know that when he goes back to Delaware, we know there's no logs about whom he sees at his house in Delaware, right? So if there's no logs telling you who's going in and out of there, who's to say that there's some drug dealer that's coming in there and giving him cocaine?
If there is, good for him. Who cares? That's his body. Let him do whatever he wants. You know, a big deal.
I don't think it's a big issue.
Right. I've got Vincent.
But if they're having to give him stuff to keep him lucent, you know, to keep him at least.
Yeah,
upright.
They don't give him cocaine to keep him alive. Come on, it's a waste of breath to talk like this because it's just a waste of time. I think we should be focusing on more important issues, like we were just talking about the governor being impeached, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Worry about cocaine in the White House.
Grisham? Talking about Grisham?
Yeah.
Grisham.
Okay. Well, that is an interesting subject to talk about because I have rarely seen such a blatant display of tyranny from an American governor in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That was one for
the Constitution.
Books. I mean, that was one for the books, man. That was right out of Eastern Europe stuff.
Yeah, and then
that's correct.
And then
that's
week,
correct.
And then last week when she actually said, "Okay, I'm rescinding that." Then she asked for a thank you from the GOP for it.
But wait a minute. She didn't rescind it. She didn't rescind it. She just merely modified it.
Modified it.
Yes. She didn't rescind it. She still hasn't rescinded it yet. Not completely.
No. She rescinded it for just a couple of people. She left it in for the parks where she said that children and families go. Well, since she's been in the roundhouse up in Santa Fe, families don't bring their children to the parks anymore.
I don't think that legislator, like you said, I think the signatures are a distraction, you know, this petition is. I think if the legislators need two-thirds or three-fifths of the majority to impeach the governor, and that's what the law says, and what the hell are they doing to send around a petition? The petition don't mean nothing. Get those legislators, get their rear ends in gear, call quorum, get up there next Friday and hold the hearing and then send it over to the Senate. You know, that's what they need to do. All this distraction stuff is a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, I got Vincent in there. You got anything to say now?
Well, I am your resident fruit bat whisperer, and I'm going to get my lawyers after you guys because you all going to.
I love it.
You
Hi,
all,
Vince.
I'm going to get my lawyers after you guys because you all mentioning my name and I'm nowhere to be around. How are you guys doing?
Emotional support comfort dog here. How you doing there, fellow canine?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me translate that into emotional support dog language. There we go.
That's pretty good, man. I got a dog on my
phone. According to Warren, you guys answer to me, apparently, according to Warren.
You are all my personal black and white dogs.
Yeah.
And Robert, and guys, about Robert is, chuckled at a racial joke.
Yeah. Here's the thing about it, though. I told him I came on his show one time, and you know, he made an accusation against me that I'm being paid by Robert, and I told him I've been doing Black by Color only since 2009, before I even knew there was a Robert Garding. And I've never gotten a thin red dime from anyone. I don't have any consultants. Nobody comes and says, okay, Vincent, I want you to say this on your crew. I wing it. And yesterday I was on the Action, what is it called, Action Radio with Greg Pinglis. I think that's his name, Greg Pinglis.
Yeah.
And
I'm a moderator for the Action Radio Gun Group on Facebook. Yeah. I've known Greg for a while now. He's a good guy.
So I was on there yesterday and up pops Warren and I'm sitting there like, now what the heck is he doing here for? Is he just a troll for conservative radios or something? I mean, he just pops up and once again he just rudely comes in and tries to change the subject of what they're talking about, and I told him, I said, well, dude, if you don't like it here, you can just leave, you know? I mean, we don't need you here and everything, and we had to ignore him or whatever, you know? And I'm like, this dude has got a mental problem or something.
Vince, are you aware that for three nights in a row, he has done a show about you, me, Bianchi, and Warren? I mean, Robert.
Wow.
For three nights in a row. He's done a show about, I mean, seriously, three nights in a row. I think it's four. He did one in the daytime and three nights in the evenings. I just got off the air issuing another one of my challenges to him. This time I dropped the price down to $2,000, but to debate me and for him to prove that I am who I say I am. And he wouldn't say it. I just got off listening to him. He did another one tonight.
He could attack everybody but me. Why?
He thinks he can persuade you.
See, you're his particular target. He thinks he's going to be able to persuade you and to his to his reasoned arguments, and you'll come around to his side.
I feel left out.
He comes on yesterday, and he starts making these false accusations, and then when people started calling him out on him, myself in particular, he starts saying, "Oh, you all are attacking me. Ain't nobody.
You drew first blood.
So you mean to tell me you gonna light the fuse and then you gonna get mad at the dynamite? I mean, come on, dude.
The leftist.
Come on,
the leftist.
Ron Reckin. I just brought Ron Reckin, and he was just there.
Another guy that Warren's going after.
Yeah, he was just there at Warren's show, and he can tell us what he just got through saying. Ron?
He tried to give me a link to the program that he said that he was talking about me, and he said, enjoy. You know, I was like, I'm not listening to your garbage. I know what you are about, dude. Look. You are not the first person like yourself that I've dealt with. You're not going to be the last. So, you know, I mean, I say bring your worst. You're not intimidating me. You're strengthening my resolve. It just makes me want to go right out there and just continue that much stronger about my message. You know, you're not intimidating me, dude.
But Vince, it's not even it's not even the horrid views he holds, because obviously he's entitled to have them. It's the manner in which he completely distorts
exactly.
what we say.
No, what Ron Rick exactly. said. Ron Rick said we heard what he was saying. What's that, Ron?
Yes, I had strolled over to Warren's show. It's really a good family show. I really give it no thumbs up. But he stated the Three Stooges. Okay?
Yeah.
And here's
yeah.
how it goes. Here's what he said. Robert, Vincent, and Sarge are racist, no good motherfuckers, and that's that.
Wow.
So,
I replied,
wow. And he continued on to say how racist they are against their own color, and they, you know, worship the white guy, and, you know, his books indicate this, and that he has done research on the internet to come to conclusion that you guys are the Three Stooges. They resurrected, they're alive again, sweet, I love the Stooges, so I'm cool. You know, anyway, he won't come to my show. He will not come to my show. He fears me. He fears me. I mean, come to my show. I mean, I have a family show. Really, it's real friendly. You know, we accept everybody, anybody. And, of course, you know, all I'll do is I usually do is tear him the fuck apart. But that's just, you know, being nice about it. Help him out. He needs help. The guy does need some professional help. I do see that, you know. So he's retarded.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I called him.
He's
called
for attention. He's a narcissist.
You know,
he's actually a narcissist.
He's beyond. And just like Sarge was saying, I have no problem with him disagreeing with me. But you know, when I went on his program, you know, he said, well, Vincent, I treated you with all the respect. I said, yeah, you did. When I was on your program, but it was your follow-up program that I listened to, and that's when you started using the term black comfort dog for white conservatives. And he even mentioned my show by name. He said these black by color only comfort dogs. And I said, now, and I told myself, I said, you know what, I'm not even surprised, because I knew he was going to do that, because I've dealt with people like Warren before. You can tell them. You tell when they ask you a question, you answer their question as directly as you want to, but they still want to believe what they want to believe. And I've dealt with people like him for years, for decades.
Absolutely. I've been doing a podcast for 14 years, and I've seen all kinds. I mean, I've seen them all. You know what I'm saying? And everybody used to bitch about the trolls, you know, but I fixed them. I didn't really have a serious problem with trolls. And I used to be on Perry Steele's show, okay? That's when I started out. And trolls would call in, and, you know, Perry would get mad as hell at them, and, you know, everybody else I knew on dead shows were getting mad at them. I just started talking to them. You know what I mean? You know, they called me, said I screwed my mother and did this shit and that, and I'm gay and everything else. And I said, yeah, how'd you know, man? How'd you know I do something? My mom kisses excellent. She's good in bed, so I'm really cool with it. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, by the way, I'm actually only, like, maybe 30 miles from the border of Arkansas, so we're inbreeding our practice. And finally, I got him to like, you know, I just went into their head and fucked them up. You know, you couldn't outsmart it. But they're looking for attention. That's all they're doing. They're just looking, they're begging for attention. So I mean, I just don't, you know, you ain't gonna beat me. You're not gonna drag me down to bullshit. You ain't gonna win. It's impossible to beat me. So I mean, but that's what they want. They want a reaction from you, and when they get it, they're happy. They get off on that shit. You know, they do. So what Warren's doing, I mean, every show I've seen him do has all got CNN on it. You know, he's completely against the show and Robert and everybody else on the show. So, because he has no followers. There's nobody on the show. There was nobody else but me there. That was it. I was the only one in the chat room by myself. So you have no followers.
But
by doing this shit, you sure ain't going to get it.
I thought that he was the most popular show on Blog Talk.
That's what he keeps telling all of
us. He was lying.
No, that's me. That's me, damn it.
Oh, no,
that's
he doesn't
me,
tell lies. Warren doesn't tell lies. Warren doesn't tell lies.
I don't know
lies.
About that.
That's what he said on his show yesterday. He said he doesn't tell lies. I said, you a liar right there.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, like I said, man, he's a whack job. He just wants attention.
He knows
a little spoiled child.
You know what the most ironic thing about it is? And irony is utterly lost on leftists and Marxists, but it really is self-evident to us. He accuses us, or he does the very thing he accuses racists of doing. He dehumanizes Pianchi, Vince, and me. We don't have the mentality to come to the conclusions we have based upon our empirical observations and our studies. No, we have to be doing the bidding of our white masters. He literally does the very thing that white racists do by literally dehumanizing us. He doesn't give us our own agency. And he's so self-absorbed and so fanatical, he's probably not even really aware of it specifically.
Right, but he also stated the fact that Pianchi, even though that is an African name that he's using, Pianchi is an African name apparently, and it's all cool by me, but he's stating that Pianchi's statement was that slavery was a good thing. That's what he was saying. That right there kind of iced it for me. Like, okay, you're fucked. You're gone, dude. What are you thinking? You know, why would somebody say that? Anybody would say that. You know, that just don't make no sense. But he's claiming that Pianchi said that. Stating that.
I can tell you right now, his profile, he's a nutcase. And I would really say, those are the people you got to watch out for. He's your next shooter, you know?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That's the problem. He's a problem, not a solution. That's exactly what he is.
He's a psychotic.
Yeah, but he's, like I said, he's a problem. He's not a solution. You know, people like that need help. They do.
But
if there isn't.
He's got obsessive-compulsive disorder based upon my amateurish psychoanalysis of the guy. Because, I mean, what he does... And remember, when I first called into a show, I called into a show about three times. The first two times I called in, he was actually reasonable. He actually listened to the arguments. We had a good back and forth. We didn't agree. But he told me to call back in and see what he'd do next time. It was the same way the second time. He behaved quite civilly. It was the third time when I utterly refused to accept his line of reasoning that the fangs came out. And I began to realize that this guy might have a bit of the sociopath in him. At first, he can be seemingly charming and friendly, but if he doesn't get his way, then, like I said, the fangs and the claws come out. And that's when I began to realize what this guy really is.
Well, you know, I think that's where the problem comes in, because Vincent actually one day muted him because he wouldn't shut up. And He was in the chat room saying, oh, I intimidate him, and I did the same thing. I muted him, and he says, the only reason why Robert muted me is because I intimidate him. Well, no, he didn't. I just got tired of his bullshit.
Yeah, and I told him I am 6 feet 2 1/4 inches tall, and I weigh almost 300 pounds. Dude, you do not intimidate me. You do not.
Like, man, I think he's a sociopath. He may just be a sociopath.
We got 45 seconds left of the live broadcast. So if you're out there, call in now within the next 40 seconds, 646-478-5284 as we go into overtime.
Yeah, but can't get in.
Thank you, Lorian.
I need to be more of a visitor to the Lucid Libertarian.
Oh God, this is a guy like most Democrats. I mean, Biden's a sociopath. You know, all these people on that side of the aisle, the majority of those people on that side of the aisle are that way, are sociopaths. You know.
Yeah.
Well, there's a limit, though. They act nutty, but there's a different level to that. I mean, you got people that are like loners that are just really creepy, and Warren fits one of those profiles, you know?
I mean, so-called ladies on The View, you know, they're all sociopaths, you know, those people, and Biden's, you know, all these people, you know, I mean, yeah.
he takes it, Warren takes it to a different level. He is, there's, you know, we talked about what's on Blog Talk before. I mean, it's mostly, other than you guys, it's mostly, you know, religious shows. And I guarantee you a lot of these religious shows have more of a following than Warren does. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure of it. Yeah. I've been doing it for 14 years now, and I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. You know, I don't plan on going anywhere, you know, until God calls me home. I plan on doing this thing, keep on doing it. You know, I got a show tomorrow, 5:00. I invite everybody to come on out. but hey,
Eastern time.
5 p.m. 5 p.m. Right. Eastern time, and leave your fruit bats at home.
I call them moon bats.
Hey, moon bats, ding bats. I just chose fruit bat because that sounds a little bit more unique. And it's not.
But I got this book I've read. And Stars, I need to come to your library. I understand you have over 2,000 books to read, so I really want to come hang out at your place a while. You know, that's cool.
Wait a minute, say that again.
I understand you have over 2,000 books.
Yeah,
is that,
I do.
You do? Okay, all right. That's what Warren. That's what Warren told me. What Warren said, you know.
Warren told me I can't read.
Well, that's cool, too.
That'd be
cool. Yeah.
He said I need to
be a
little
dumb just like you.
Me.
I mean, yeah.
And he really gets angry with me. He really gets angry with me when he'll spout one of his famous black identity philosophers. And I'll go to one of the books. I have their books, too. I got books by Francis Cress Welsing, books by John Henry Clark, books by all the ethnocentric writers out there. I got all those books so I can listen to their arguments so I can either refute them or agree with them. And one time I went to one book that written by Francis Cress Welsing, who is one of the intellectual wellsprings for many of these people, including Warren, because he said how much he admires her. And I said, oh, yeah? Well, why don't you tell me, explain this, what she wrote in book, The Isis Colors, Book of the Colors, and I gave him the edition of the book I was reading, the date the edition was printed, the Congressional Library number, everything. I gave it all there. I said, on page 96, she wrote this. And when after I got through reading it, he said, she didn't write that. I'm not kidding.
That's how they do. That's how they do.
I'm reading right from the book to refute something he said by one of his favorite intellectuals, Francis Cress Welsing. And I said, well, then riddle me this. And I read this to him. And I said, now can you reconcile that, sir? And he said she didn't write it. Like I said, I mean, the guy is as dishonest as it's possible to be.
Well, she was busy. You know, she had to have somebody else come in and write that part. Now, I think next time I'm a poppin', I'm going to start quoting quotes from Aleister Crowley's best-selling novels, and maybe you'll understand that. Literature.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a copy of Mein Kampf. I can give you that if you want some quotes.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with a rock musician like me, it kind of goes with the flow. You know, you really got to keep up the piece. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quote stuff on, like, Abraham Kendi and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that type of stuff as well. You know, and
if I close my eyes forever, we'll all remain the same. You know, I mean, that's from Ozzy. Then my girlfriend Lita Ford.
I was reading to him from a Critical Race Theory by Richard Delgado. He was talking about critical race theory, how people don't understand critical race theory. And I told him what I do, because I studied. Now, here's the original text from two of the principal, Kimberly Crenshaw and Richard Delgado. And Derek Bell, I got the books, Faces from the Bottom of the Well, Critical Race Theory by Delgado and Crenshaw, and I proceeded to read from it of what they say the theory is, which he denied it was. And then he again told me they didn't write that. I'm reading right from the book. In fact, I'm looking at it on my desk right now.
Is Warren a prophet? Is he a prophet? I mean,
when it comes to the truth, lefts are alien to the concept. Objective truth has no meaning other than what it takes to advance their agenda.
I agree. I'll take that for $300, Alex. what is? I don't know, man. It blows my mind people act that way to other people. You know, like I said, the whole point is it. By going into the conversation of this idiot fucker, really, we're wasting our time anyway. You know what I mean? But it is kind of humorous.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's so fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Because we all know that you guys ain't that. You know, I know you ain't. You know what I'm saying? Or I'd be on the chat, I'd be in his chat saying, oh, yeah, oh, my God, you're just like that. Yeah, exactly. You're right. Fuck, man. You know, three students are rolling over the grave because these motherfuckers ain't just like them. But that's, you know, that's here or there. The fact is, remain the same. This guy is wasting time. And he wants attention. That's all it is, man. It's simply, you know, there's no sense in getting riled up over it. There really isn't. Work. Just go along with it. Agree with him. That's the best way I'd tell you.
But Ron, there is a method to his madness, though. And let me explain to you what the method to his madness is, I believe.
Okay.
He believes that all white people today, who are 90 most white people today, are not racist. They're certainly not in the classical sense of racism. But he believes that he can manipulate this kernel of guilt that he thinks all white people have. See, that's why he won't talk to me, because he knows he can't do that with me because I don't have it. He thinks you have it. Whether you have it or not, he thinks you have it, and he thinks he can manipulate it. Believe me, I guarantee you that's what it is. That's why he will not talk to me.
Right,
because
well,
he knows
to me,
I don't have that.
That you, all three of you guys, are considered racist against your own color. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes no fucking sense whatsoever to me at all. I mean, it's that, you know, it shows me the caliber where you're at. You know what I mean? In your intellectual thought. Because why would you say that? Why, you know, what the fuck do you mean? And, you know, he's saying that Pianki's saying that slavery was a good thing. On what way? To who? To the slave owners? It was great. Free labor? Fucking hell. You just beat them? Fucking great. But, you know, what was so fucking good about it? That's what you see. Why would you say that? Why aren't you defending your own kind? You know, because if we are kind, so me, myself, all the same. I don't see any difference between anybody. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're from. I don't. It depends how you act in life. That's what that tells the truth about somebody.
But that is why he recites an endless litany of atrocity. You notice his whole shtick is to recite an endless list of atrocities rather than putting anything in any sort of context other than atrocity and outrage. And he thinks by doing that, he will be able to swell and exaggerate this kernel of guilt all you white people are carrying around for the sins of people who are long dead and you had nothing to do with. He actually thinks it works. And by the way, he is symptomatic of people like Ibram X. Kendi and that white woman, Robin DiAngelo, and all them people in the racial industrial complex who do exactly that. They seek to manipulate guilt that you're not even supposed to have for things you didn't even do, that from people that are long, long dead.
Yeah, one of the things
well,
I
you know, with
was
him,
hilarious.
That all started because the conversation wasn't at all about slavery being a good thing. All the conversation was about was just mention, you know, it was just mentioning that black enslaved people learned skills that helped them once slavery ended. You know, and that's, you know, the skills of whatever the work that they were doing when they were enslaved. And then that was the only like reference, you know, it was the skills they learned after slavery that, you know, enabled them, you know, to like survive, you know, when slavery ended. And that's what started the whole thing with Warren. So he twisted that whole conversation around to turn it into, slavery was a good thing. And slavery benefited blacks. Like he, you know, Warren. That's what he does. He will take one. He will take something and completely twist it around into a narrative that makes us evil, you know, and him look better, you know?
Yes. And like yesterday when I was on Greg Pinglis's program, Greg Pinglis had a lady on. She was talking about her testimony and, you know, she was talking about a ministry. And Greg just mentioned how evil communism was. You know, he just said, you know, we've had evil in the 20th century and, you know, communism. And this dude gets up and he says, well, what about slavery? And I'm like, this dude is doing it again. He did this on one of Robert's shows one time. He just tries to totally change the subject. And we're not even talking about that, dude. What is your problem? We're not even talking about that.
And guys, this is a guy. There are three different types of people, guys. There are smart, smart people, stupid people, and stupid, smart people, right? Two of the three types of people know their limitations. They stay in their lane, and if they need to know something, they go to somebody who knows it. That it's that third type of person is dangerous, is that stupid, smart person.
You just insulted the fuck out of me, Mike. That's nice. Yep. Thanks, Mike, for insulting the fuck out of me, bro. Thank you, you fucker. Anyway, listen, you left out the retards. I am a retard. Don't forget, fucker. So, respect my retardity. I am the retardedest.
That's one of the things that just really blew me away.
A retard is way smarter than Warren. that's a fact, Ron. A retard.
Man, you're fucking me. Why are you doing that to me, man? I'm trying to get a check, bro. Why you keep doing this to me? Quit that. Jesus Christ, Marsh. You know, that's why people never come to my show. They don't come to my show. They hate me because I'm a tartart. You know, I like being a tartart, and you know, it's Christmas time. You know, what's the tartart?
This is a guy that is that way. He thinks he knows everything about everything, but he doesn't know nothing about nothing. You know?
He don't know nothing about the cards yet. I'm going to educate the boy, I'm telling you. I'm going to give him a book.
He knows what he's been programmed with, and like Joseph Goebbels says, just keep repeating the big lie often enough, and enough people believe it. And that's what he does. He hammers the same big lies home and slight and half-truths and kernel of truths over and over and over and over and over again. And he's classical.
So he's
a classical example of modern-day left.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's how they work. You know, like Hillary Clinton said, deny, deny, lie, and lie, and it works for them. Keep lying. They'll believe it eventually. Absolutely. Crazy. Wow.
No doubt.
You know, that's one of the things that really kind of blew me away about Warren was when he started bashing me and then bashing Vincent about being paid by me to be on. You know, once Vincent contacted me about doing a show, I think he asked me one time what he could discuss, and I said, anything you want, and I've left him alone, and he's done well.
Yeah, and the rest of it was just common sense. You know, I mean, I know if I'm coming on somebody else's channel, that I'm going to show the due respect. You know, I think I had a mother and a father that taught me that when I was a kid one time, and, you know, and when I crossed that threshold of maturity, I applied it to my life. You know, I just have a general respect for certain people. I know if I'm going into someone else's territory, you know, I'm in their house, okay, and I'm going to respect you. That's why I don't use the N-word on your program. You know, now if it was my program, I'd use it all the time. But see, I'm on somebody else's channel, and I'm going to show them the due respect. But Robert never told me, he said, Vincent, now this is what I require of you. Now you got to do this. And if you do this, if you do it the way I want you to do it, you know, I'll give you the gold pieces and everything. No, I just said, hey, I know how to conduct myself. and I'm going to conduct myself with integrity. That's all, you know. But,
that's cool. That's cool, and I respect it. But, Robert, I got to apologize, man. I'm so sorry the way I reacted. I am so sorry, but you know how I am. You know, when I go on a tangent, the F word always comes and slips out. So I'm really sorry. I'm trying to get help. I'm seeking therapy to stop doing it. But you know, I can't help it. You know, I can't figure it out. You know, it's my First Amendment right, and I'm using it. I'm practicing my First Amendment right to say it.
Okay, you need to go to Dr.
Lori Ann. Dr. Lori Ann?
Yeah,
Dr. Lori Ann. What?
What are you trying
libertarian?
To rope me into now?
I fear the lucid libertarian. I fear it. I fear it. It scares me.
Oh.
What's up, Lou? How you doing? I love you, sweetie. You know I still love you.
I know. I feel it. But it is a scary thing, though, isn't it? A lucid libertarian is a very intimidating thing. I'm supposed to be totally cray-cray, you know?
I feel completely threatened every time I see it. The purple. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's her.
This is great. The girl's cute, but that purple just pops, man. Well, it's kind of like my shit, too. Mine's got two guys pulling the fucking world to pieces. And twin towers, all kinds of fucking shit, spaceships and whatever, you know. That's actually an album cover, so that's an old album cover. But my co-host did that, and I just left it, you know. So I think it's cool. That's the world we live in. And that album cover was done before 9/11. But you see those two buildings in that picture? Take a look at it. Crazy, huh? Before it ever happened. But we live in
a
crazy world.
It is kind of trippy when you watch older movies again, you know, or older TV shows. It's really trippy. It's like, whoa, that's right. You know, like when you see the skyline and the towers were still there and everything, it's just like, it's like nostalgic, but also kind of like, I can't think of a better word, but like there's like a creep factor into it. You know what I mean? It's like a, you know, seeing these images, you know, in movies and TV shows of the towers when they were still there. It's just like a ghost, you know, this ghost from the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Mhm. Well, it's like, you know, being in the music business, you know, a lot of people don't understand that all songs are stories at some point, you know, that's how they start out, you know, writing songs. And there's messages in some of these songs, and they're actually there. You just don't, people can't understand what they mean. They don't understand the meaning of the song. What meanings of it mean, you know? I mean, every song has a title, but, you know, you don't know the meaning of the book. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a funny thing, you know. There's a lot of different facts that, you know, we see now. Oh, wow, there's a song that reminds me of that. You know, kind of pops in people's heads. Oh, wow, is that what that meant? You know, so, and how did they know it back then? It happens now. Why wasn't I ever stopped? Why didn't anybody else catch it? You know, like, okay, take the movie Idiocracy. Has anybody seen that movie? Have you guys seen it?
No.
I've heard of it. If you've never seen it,
you
got to watch Idiocracy, because that's exactly, you know,
yes,
where we're headed.
Yeah.
It's one of those
predictive
movies.
And they cock-blocked
movies.
That movie. Sony cock-blocked it. They did not want to let it be released. They did not. Believe it or not, that movie had a hard time, like, getting out, period. You know, so it's crazy. But it's, yeah, but you're right. Yeah, Lawrence. I mean, it's yeah. That's where we're heading. It kind of explains it, too. It's just, oh, my God. Sheer stupidity. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
I need to watch that movie again. It's been a while.
Yeah, I got it on my list. But anyway, but I think we are. Look at the political system.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you're doing. I mean, watch that movie, 80 Rock. It didn't get back to you about what you think about what's going on today. You'll say, fuck. You will. You'll actually say that word. I mean, that's, I mean, you will. So, mean, just telling you, man. The truth will set you free. God damn. But that's just for reference. But then there again, like I said, songs too. You know, it just depends on the song. Most songs are wrote about heartbreak, beer, liquor, and heartbreak. You know, play on the heartstrings and sell the rest. You know.
And although
he stopped loving her.
What did they used to say about what was the old joke about country songs? What do you get when you play a country song backwards? You get everything back.
I don't know about that, but you know.
Well, so Tom, country songs, well, you lose your dog, you lose your home, you lose your, you know, your wife, you lose everything. You play it backwards, you get everything back. You know?
That makes sense. Yeah, that's what you, yeah, that's a good one. I didn't catch on, but yeah, I got it out. Yeah, that's good. You get all back, Bob. You know, but yeah. It's a funny world we live in, man. We don't, you know, reality's a trip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the schools are educating our children to believe that they're something other than what they really are, how is that educating anybody that fucked their life up forever? You know what I mean? Forever. Can you imagine it being 8, 9 years old and wind up getting your stuff rearranged? And all of a sudden you get about 11, 12 years old and you're like, what the fuck did I just do? You know? And I could see some people getting really mad. You know, that could very well be what sums up a lot of bad people, you know. But they created it. They're trying to create that person. You know what I mean? Weird, ain't it? Kind of like when they was doing cloning, which I think they still do. But that's nothing. You just don't hear about it.
Just
I think
along
we're invented with a 3D printer practically, you know?
Yeah. Just we'll along with AI. Transsexuals.
Well, they're trying to make them from raw organic material called children. You know, that's what they're trying to do. That's crazy. But, you know, they're talking about food getting 3D printed now. Believe that shit?
Yep.
Because the crime rate so much they could 3D print food. How the fuck could you 3D print food? Yeah, you can print it, but it's going to be plastic. But they're talking actual edible food. You can eat this shit. Now, you want to talk about the fucking Jetsons, right? There you go.
Yeah.
Look at the Jetsons, the cartoon. Came out in the 70s. And we could order anything we want and have it delivered to us. Anything. Ain't that nice? So we all get fatter and lazier. We got to do shit. We'll buy it. We're at the corner. There it sits. Everybody fall asleep. Did I bore y'all to death? Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. I'll just lose that.
I mean, this ain't my show, so I'm being cool. I'm keeping my cool. I'm not on my show, but you know.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I know if there was a lull in the conversation, there is another clip that Robert was thinking of playing.
I'm trying to.
But we didn't
want to,
stop the conversation and stop the flow of discussion or anything to do it.
All you
have
to say is
Robert
shut the fuck up. I'm okay, cool. I shut up.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I respect. I mean, I'm cool.
Yeah, we're not.
I expect you to know what to do when I don't know what to do when I'm doing. Yeah, so. I'm going for
that
check, I'm telling you. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about hanging out with him. I might get a check, but. Oh, you hang out with him? Show? Oh, yeah. I do. Oh, yeah, you're qualified. Here you go. Check. Good to go. Yeah. Can I get some food stamps, too? Absolutely. Here you go. Yeah, take it.
Yeah.
Just because you know that guy. You are dis fucking able.
Who's talking? And you sound really far away, whoever's talking.
Sounds like a television.
Sorry. Oh, you might be listening. You might be hearing background noise in my
My wife is watching YouTube right now.
Oh, that explains it.
YouTube. Something I haven't been on for a long, long time since they banned me.
Oh, wow.
YouTube banned you?
Yeah.
What did you say, Honest?
Yeah, they banned me for talking about how masks are bad for you, and I used the doctor who was in respiratory stuff and had been in it for 15, 20 years, and I used him, and they banned me. Took all of my videos off of there. That was the end.
You used him? What do you mean you used him? But I'm just understanding.
I contacted him and asked him if I could use one of his videos about masks and how they don't work the way everybody says they do, and I did it, and YouTube banned me for it.
Okay, because you're saying masks were bad for people, more or less?
More or less, yeah, if you wear them all the time.
Okay, I know, it's unorthodox to say.
Fuck that. No, bullshit. Fucking the masks were bullshit. The shop booth,
but
I think
I want
bullshit.
My mask.
And this is Ron Barrett from Crazy News Radio. And I will say, damn the mask, fuck Fauci, and there you go. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, it got nothing to do with this show whatsoever, period. I'm just talking off the other. I'm telling you, fuck them. You know, it's bullshit. Because it
was.
I got
mask,
but now we
like
found,
my security
after the fact, we find out all this
guys.
Shit was bullshit. But didn't we? And everything bullshit with COVID, and here it comes back again. I said, no, don't worry about it. It's like the flu season. It's election time. COVID's got to come back. We can't lose no fucking power. Fuck. So what do you want to think? Ain't that right? I mean, that's what they're doing. I believe in that stupid triad, dude. You know? Because they don't think it cares anymore. We've been seeing the same shit. They're doing shit right in front of us, man. And they're thinking, well, it's okay. Don't worry. You know, we're good to do that. You ain't. We are. Just, you know. That's what I'm seeing. And we all are. We're seeing the wrong things they're doing. So, yeah, man. COVID was a...
Well, I got flagged on YouTube because I dared talk about how the election was stolen from Donald Trump. I put a couple of videos on last year, and they gave me a couple of strikes because I dared to say that I don't believe that... that Joe Biden actually won the election, and they gave me two strikes for that. So, yeah, YouTube is getting a little caustic now.
Yeah,
my
they
wife
got
likes
me
to watch
today's.
My wife,
fact, I got one for a comment I put in. I got one.
Yeah.
All I said the guy was a dumbass, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, no, we can't say that. Okay, so
yeah,
they can say it about Donald Trump, though.
They can say it about
right.
Donald Trump,
well,
though, but don't you say anything against their boys, you know? So But my wife is a big time Donald Trump fan. She's not even a native of this country, and I think she's a bigger Donald Trump fan than I am.
Donald Trump? No. You know the man that's going to be really one to really compete with is going to be Newsom. I'm telling you, he's gonna be tough to beat. I mean, because Jim's gonna have to go out.
Gavin Newsom.
He'd be the first white refugee homosexual as president.
Well, my question since there's new listeners in here, my question I started off the show with was, if your rights are violated, or how do you make a state agency or a political figure, how do you compel them to obey a state law or a state code or a statute? If they're violating your rights by code
depends
or statute, how
are.
Do you compel them?
It depends on what they are.
Anything, any law that they violate. How do you compel them?
Yeah, right. Well, it depends. It depends what law they violated and what they were at the time.
How you just pick any law, code or statute? How do you compel them then to obey that law?
You can't. Well, because you're talking about rights, the rights or whatever, right? If they get whatever.
No, right. Codes or statutes. Codes or statutes. We have codes and statutes on the books, right? Anything. For example, take anything for an example. Code or statute.
Oh,
how do you compel?
We have,
and,
we, But we have law and we have rules, too, which is actually not a statute, Coach. That's rules.
All right, let me give you an example. Let me just say, because I can understand what nobody's getting it. Okay, for instance, I applied for a license from the private security board here in North Carolina. The NC Private Protective Services Board here in North Carolina, okay? They regulate all licenses, okay, for certain professions, like a security officer. They denied me, okay? According to the statute, okay, for the reasons that they denied me, they cannot deny me, okay? Because the statute says they cannot deny me, blah, 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 for whatever reasons they said they denied me. So how do I compel this board now to obey the statute?
To make them obey to do it would be under their consent.
They're violating the statute. They're violating a statute. They're violating, for instance, House Bill 770 that states that they cannot not issue me a license for my profession based upon the grounds that they're denying me for. They cannot do that. That's what the statute says.
Right. Okay. Then they are in violation of the statute.
Thank you. Yes. So how do I compel them to obey it?
You have to get a hold of a federal prosecutor.
No. Why would a federal prosecutor go after a state, somebody in the state?
Because a state can't go for a state. It's got to be federal to take on the state.
No. Nope. That's not. No. They told me no. That's not true. I already tried that.
Do you want? It's a state issue, right? You're suing the state. You're trying to get a resolution through an organization in the state, right?
I have to follow my administrative remedies, okay, obviously, right? I have to follow all the remedies that are available to me. So that's what they say. So first I have to go before a grievance panel, get denied that way. Then I have to take it before an administrative law judge. And then if I get denied by that judge, then I have to go for a review through a superior court. And then if I get denied there, then I could take it to a United States District Court or an appellate court for North Carolina. And, because I can go to the Supreme Court of North Carolina, but why bother? I can go right to the federal court then after that. But I'm just trying to say is why do I have to do all that? Why isn't there some remedy where I can compel this agency to obey the statute? That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to ask. Is there any remedy?
Look at the laws and the violation. If you're making a violation, it's a crime. It's a disagreement in the contract. Okay? I know this might sound crazy, but anyway, listen. The people that are fucking with you under the statute, whichever it is, is the state office, right? State office, correct?
It's an agency that regulates licenses for my profession.
Okay, but are they outside contractor by the state?
No, the governor appoints them.
So it's a state. Department.
It's a state agency. Yeah, it's a state regulatory
state
agency.
Department.
They regulate my profession.
We'll say department, agency, whichever. Same thing. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the deal. The complaint has to go to a federal court. There is no fuck all
federal court says no. The federal court says no. I have to follow administrative remedies first. If I go to federal court, what am I suing them for? What standing am I going to have? What's my cause?
It's a violation of a code or a right. That's what their job is to do.
What right are they violating? What code? The United States
Federal
Court
doesn't have
what code.
But you're saying they're violating something you have the right to have, right? That's a violation of your right if you have the right to have it.
Yeah. Any private citizen who applies for a license in that profession has a right to have that license, or as long as they go through the courses, pass the classes, graduate from the classes, and fulfill the requirements that they're supposed to have to be educated enough to have that profession. And then the company that hires them then submits all that paperwork to the state licensing board, and the state licensing board sends back the license, so then I can work for that company. Now, but if they deny me, then I can't work for that company. So, but the reasons for denial have to be for da-da-da-da, which they do not have those reasons. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no reason why I should not have this license.
But they got to have a reason why they're not giving it to you.
Oh, they said I lack moral character, moral turpitude.
Moral character?
Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you why right now. Because they're a Democratic-appointed board, and I'm a Republican candidate for North Carolina House of Representatives.
Oh, well,
that's what it really is.
Well, there you right. There,
I got to prove that.
There you go. There's your answer. Fuck. You'll
but
be
I have to prove that.
You'll be in court teasing.
I'll never be able to prove that.
Well, yeah. Eventually, by the time you die. We can drag this shit out
so, again now. So there we go. What's my remedy? What can I do to compel them to obey the statute? This is what I've been knocking my head against the wall, trying to figure out through case law, looking at remedies, what I can do, and I just don't know what to do.
They have a cause. They don't like you. That's all they need.
They can't do that.
They're the government, man. This shit.
But
they don't care.
Yes, I
they
know.
Don't care.
I know, but
you're
not.
A group of people making this decision to you, man. You see what I mean?
But
and
they're
they
not supposed to be
ass.
Able to do that, though.
I
but
know
not
that.
Supposed
I'm well
to be
aware
able to
of
do
that.
That.
But you're a Republican. They don't like you. That's
so my
mean,
again. So you're telling me I have no remedy. So you're telling me I have no remedy then?
I would say not. Yeah. Right. Seems to be if that's the case.
So we're slaves. So then we're slaves, and then there's no enforcing our rights, and we have to obey.
Yeah.
We have to obey whatever the government says.
Yeah.
That's what they think anyway.
That's right. It depends on the subject, though, the subject matter, you know. Yeah, it's got to have some, you know, foundation to even be compelled to do that. Just, you know, without that, and, you know, that's a violation of due process. You see what I mean? It's like you're being discriminated because
it's
you're
called
you know,
abuse of discretion.
You're being
discriminated. Hang on. It's called discretionary abuse. That's what it's called. But But the problem is that I have to go through. I'm going to win eventually if I go up the ladder far enough. But it's going to take years to fight. Meanwhile, I'm sitting out of work. You know. So that's why I was asking, I was putting it out there, does anyone know of a remedy that can compel a state agency to obey the statutes that they're required to fulfill?
Did you file that, did you file a state court? Did you file it in your local county court? You know state court?
Yes, I am in administrative law court right now. I'm in administrative hearings right now in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
Right. I've already gone through the two previous steps of
I don't know how North Carolina does it. I mean, you know, constitutional rules. I mean, I can understand that.
Well, every state's pretty much the same with state court and whatnot.
Usually,
and hearings.
Some got all retarded shit. But, you know, fuck booking you.
Yeah. My next step after this is to go review before the Superior Court. I go to the court in my county after this process. If I lose at this level. Now, the judge ordered a post-hearing order. She got slick, okay, because she knows I'm right. She knows I'm right in the way I argued my case. She knows I caught the bastard lying on the witness stand, okay?
Right.
So what she did was, instead of ruling, what she did was is she created a post-hearing order. You know, and what she did was said let the respondents propose a final decision and then let me file an exception to their proposed changes and then we'll see what happens on the matter of law. That's what she's done, basically in her order.
So
now I have to wait another 2 months.
Chances straight now, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of a warning. Hey, look, fuckers.
Check this out though. But hang on. They sent in their proposal, right? Now, they're supposed to send me a copy because I can't answer their proposal if I don't get a copy of it. So, but they certified they sent me a copy, and, of course, I never got it. So now I don't know what to do because I'm like, I called down there, and she's like, well, you got to call the lawyer. He certified. He sent it to you. Well, he didn't send it to me, though. He lied. Now what do I do? Mm-hmm. You see, these are the games these bastards play, you know?
You have to file in court and demand it. You have to go to court. You got to file a motion. You got to do it.
What motion is the problem? I'm looking all day long today.
Any
what motion
you
do
you
I file?
Anything. Just write on a piece of paper. I want this document. I request it. Didn't get it. I want the court to order it. That's that, you know.
I don't think that. See, there's rules. Yeah, you got to remember there's rules that you have to follow. When the way you send things, how you motion, you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand very well. I know. But you have the right to that. You have the right to that information. It's like an evidence. It doesn't matter. You have the right to all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I should have it according to the rules, too. Yeah, you're right.
If you don't have it within a certain amount of time, the court, there is a court rule on that, and you can file
Yeah, I got to the 29th. I got to the 29th to file my response. But and they were supposed to have to the 15th to serve me mine. But of course, I never got mine. But the court got theirs.
Don't be late on yours.
But,
don't be late.
Your response.
I can't file nothing because I don't have a copy yet of theirs. I don't know what their proposed findings, their final decision is. I don't know what their matter of law is.
But you don't respond. It's not good. You got to respond to something. You know, respond is that the other party didn't get me the information I needed. So, you know.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, too.
They'll probably send
just a minute response, man. Yeah. I would come up more of an explanation to it, you know, for the response. You got to come back to some response. You know, indicate back that the other party would not give me this information needed to this case.
Well, they said they sent it to you, Mr. Gibson. That's what the law clerk said, the judge's secretary. They said they certified it. I said I didn't get it.
Yeah, was it
according to the rules?
Then I demand a commitment.
According to the rules.
You know, the judge has to give
it
to a continuum.
They're supposed to send it certified. Yes, according to the rules, they're supposed to send it certified.
Yeah, right.
This is nitpicking.
All right.
You know, I'm not going to win based upon that technicality, though. You know? But
right.
I could lose, though. See, this is the bullshit. This is the corporatism, the corporate law that we're under. That's why we need to restore the republic, common law, and get rid of all this crap, this codified crap.
Yeah. Yeah, the courts are getting really, really sophisticated. I like it. You know, this is where it proved the shit I've been trying to preach all these years. You know, now you can go to court with a traffic ticket of any kind and just pay it. You can go see a judge. It's all going to become an instant pay. When you fuck up, it's automatic to take your money. We got to fuck with your dog to take your money. That's all we got to do. You fucked up, you pay me. Because that's usually what happens anyway, doesn't it? You get a traffic ticket or some bullshit ticket, you got to pay. I mean, something like Philadelphia, you know, like Parking Wars, you watch that show. You know, that's a racket, man. It's a complete racket.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like Tollbridge, there's another fucking scam. You know, I'm like, wow. You want to talk about getting fucked.
It's all a scam.
The court system, too. Mm-hmm. The court system is the same thing. It's a big cash cow. It's a milker, man. It's a big milking system. It has no thought, nothing else to do but milk. What they fucking wrote, what the little handful of fuckers want, you know, it keeps milking. You know,
it's
don't
expensive
do what they
for
don't
these politi- Yeah, it's expensive for these political leaders to travel around the country, travel around the world, live in nice big houses.
They need more.
That's what
they
we
need
pay
more.
For.
And they talk about evangelist preachers. You know, they talk about them too. You know, but that's,
yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. Only thing to an evangelist, you actually give out of your heart and mind, and the other one takes it from you whether you give a fuck or not. It don't care. It
as a state lawmaker, right? As a state lawmaker, if I'm elected, do you realize down at the Capitol building I have access to free haircuts, free lunch? I get a travel voucher every week. I get an allowance of $150. It's all the perks that I get when elected. It's insane. It's insane. And just, you know, and as you move up the ladder, you get more. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crime.
Influence peddling. You know, how do we know about that? There you go. It is.
Yeah.
It's no shit. Influence peddling.
Oh,
and that's what they call. That's what lobbyists are. We got to get rid of lobbyists. Those are biggest. The corporation has taken over the machine. You know what I'm saying? This machine is in control of itself now.
The lobbyists have taken
the fuck over the government. The lobbyists have taken it over. Just like in
the
Republic. Yeah, why the fuck would you want to get out of it? Why do you think these motherfuckers spend all the money to keep in there?
Why do you think they do that? Why do you think somebody will spend $20 million to get a job that pays $10,000 a year?
You got it. You don't know what I'm doing on the side, motherfuckers. Look at the Bidens. Look at them, man. Fuck, do you blame them? If you get by,
nobody knows.
Blame?
Nobody seems to care. Everybody just goes to work every day.
The funny thing about it, we do know about the Bidens, but nobody cares. You know,
we're going to work in our metal coffins every morning, every day, coming home.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, chink,
Football. We get to watch the gladiators this weekend. You know, we get to watch the gladiators. The dumb bowl's coming up. Who's going to win the dumb bowl, you know?
Idiocracy had that too. What was it called? Night of Rehabilitation. Yeah, Night of Rehabilitation is Monster Trucks fighting with you in it, the convicted one, you know? So it's...
Well, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah,
you know, but the thing of it is, though, is how bad do things – you see, we don't have it bad yet in this country, really. We have to have it bad. I mean, look at the people over in Ukraine and all those other places. They got it bad. They're going to fight for freedom. We're not going to fight for nothing over here. I'm not giving up my radio, my four-wheel drive pickup truck and my, you know, my house.
If I was on my show, I would tell you a joke. But it's pretty nasty, and I can't say it, okay? So I'm on the show, but by the way, it's about these lies, okay? And I can't, I just can't do it on the show. I would be banned from this motherfucker. VTR has accepted my vulgarity because I call it.
Nobody can hear it.
Robert, you know how I am, man. You know I'm not fucking right, bro. You know, okay.
But Joe,
let me ask this question. I'll do it the way where I'm not guilty of it. I'm gonna get it down, right? What's the two of the biggest lies you've ever heard in your life? What's the two biggest lies?
Let's see. When the president holds up his hand there and swears an oath to uphold the Constitution.
The check is in the mail.
That's one part of it. Yeah. Yep. What's the other one? There's another one.
I don't know.
The government is there to help you.
No. This is a sexual
thing. You have the right to remain silent.
No, it's a sexual thing. It's about sex. So I'm not saying it's a bill.
Oh, God. I don't know then.
All right. Fuck it. Thank you. If you have property behavior for us,
five doesn't matter.
Okay. You got to get off here. Laurie, you can't listen. Plug your ears up, honey. You can't hear this. Well, I'm going to say, okay? All right. It used to be an old famous saying, the two biggest lies ever told. All right? The check is in the mail, and I won't come in your mouth. Get it? Okay. That's what I'm talking about this 6 months. Okay? I have revised it, okay?
That's pretty tame.
I've made it political, okay? I'm telling you, I've parodied this fucking saying. Okay? The two biggest lies ever told. Now it's got the four biggest lies that are told, and this is from a politician. This is a politician saying this shit, right? Checks is in the mail. I won't come in your mouth. I'm going to get more jobs, and I'm going to cut taxes. Four of the biggest lies ever told. There you go.
Okay. Well, anyway, listen to this, guys, before I forget, because I know we're not on air anyway. Anyway, Tuesday night. I need a couple of smart conservatives, maybe like Sarge or whatever, because I'm going to be having Liberal Dan and a couple of his liberal buddies there having a nice heated political discussion, liberal versus conservative politics there. Yeah. So he's agreed to come on my show.
I was doing something, some other research. What did you say, Joe?
I said I'm going to be having Liberal Dan and a couple of his liberal buddies there to have a conversation, you know, political discussion between liberal and conservative values and policies that affect America today. So if you want to come on, back me up, that'd be great.
Where and when?
Tuesday on my show, 7 p.m.
On your show?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. That way, that way they can't do their little shenanigans, little tricks.
Exactly.
Check
I finally got them to agree.
7 p.m. Eastern.
You go to the usual time, 7 o'clock?
Yeah, I finally got them to agree, you know. So I reeled them in.
You know what the topic is
going to
be?
Yeah, liberal versus conservative. Conservative versus liberal. That's what we're talking about.
That's
category.
Are you going to narrow it a little bit, or what? Is it going to just stay kind of broad?
I know what I'm going to open. We always like to argue about Trump policies and stuff like that, but I'd like to, you know, crime in the cities across America, basically because of liberal policies, stuff like that, you know. They got their good talking points that they're going to come back with their moon bad answers, but, you know, they can't mute me this time, so.
Oh, that'd be great. Outstanding. Got to get Joe to moderate.
Yeah, maybe I will, actually. Maybe I will.
I'm too young for that kind of stuff.
Joe will keep everybody in line. Joe will keep everybody in line.
Yeah, because I don't want no shouting or arguing. It's got to be professional. You know,
we
we're going
to
be professional.
We don't want to be called as foul and all that shit, because you know how whiny lefts are.
Oh, yeah. And he's going to bring out some real moonbat. You know, he's got some moonbat friends.
I got to see this. I know you ain't gonna let me on there, but it's cool. But I just want to hear it.
Nah, yeah, you can come on. I mean, you know, as long we got to keep it
professional. I'm not professional, bro. I'm not that guy. I'm a shock jock.
I don't want to chase them away because you know you can scare these liberals pretty quick. So you know they run away quick when you get them mad.
Turn on the fucking
I
want to
make them look stupid. I want to put facts down and make them look dumb. You know.
You'll never believe this.
Absolutely.
You know the ammunition magazine ban that they've had in California for since forever. So you got to use this stupid bullet button magazine catch in so-called assault rifles they sell with detachable magazines in California, and they've limited the capacity of ones that are detachable by simply pressing a button. Well, anyway, the Ninth Circuit ruled it unconstitutional. The Ninth Circuit.
That's good. And they're going to appeal it, right?
The Ninth Circuit did it. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what's so astonishing about it. They're apparently paying attention to what the Supreme Court said in Bruin. That is really astonishing. That's huge.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, didn't Trump have the ability to put a judge on the Ninth Circuit at one point?
I believe he did nominate. All the president can do is nominate. The Senate's got to confirm him.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, if that court rules that way, I mean, if that court is still liberal, all liberal, he wouldn't have gotten that ruling. You know,
yeah, but they would have had to disregard Bruin, and they got to follow precedent from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has already said that magazine bans like that are unconstitutional. They probably didn't have much of a choice if they're going to follow Supreme Court precedent because they don't want to look stupid when they get overruled by the Supreme Court.
Doesn't that violate the First Amendment?
Huh?
Doesn't that violate the First Amendment?
You mean the Second?
No, the first. Then second, really. You could say that kind of no, but no. The publication,
well,
it's
the Ninth Circuit,
press.
So they appealed the California magazine ban to the Ninth Circuit Court, and they cited Bruin as a precedent to overturn it. And that's exactly what they did, because the Supreme Court has ruled that, items of firearms that are in common use. And there are millions, probably billions by now, of AR-15 magazines in use, common use now. And Supreme Court said that firearms in common use are constitutional and their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So that
yep.
I mean, it was California.
Yeah.
Probably.
So what's the big deal? Yeah. Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
But
I mean,
California that was violating the Second Amendment.
Yeah, the state. Right. Yeah. Right. But
it saves
out
the Second Amendment.
But it was a magazine. Oh, you're talking about a magazine to a rifle. You're not talking about a magazine publication.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's where you fucked me up, man.
Okay.
I smoked too much weed night, Sarge. I'm sorry, brother. Yeah, man.
You're right. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, you're right. I'm being too serious tonight. Why are you so serious, Sarge?
You're okay, brother.
Yeah,
absolutely. I respect you, Sarge. You know that, bro.
Wait a minute, though. This is California. Soon. They will be banning every type of magazine they don't like, whether it holds ammunition or whether it holds words that disturb them.
Not Playboy. Fuck, really? Yeah, I'm kidding.
Oh, man, you better believe California will do that if they can. They'll call it
hate
speech. What do you think hate speech and disinformation is?
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Right.
Don't get like that. California may try that.
You know, I'm surprised anybody's even in California anymore. You know?
Me too.
Does people actually go to California anymore?
Look, they can't escape right now. The best, you know what the best indicator of people leaving California is? The amount it costs to rent a U-Haul to get out of California and the amount it costs to rent a U-Haul to go to California. The price difference is so stark, that alone tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, right. I heard you couldn't get a fucking U-Haul. U-Haul has to ship back to California to be ready to bring back north. Or west, or whichever way it goes.
That's
from California.
That's why they discounted so much. For people who want to go back to California, the rate is highly discounted. For people who want to get out, they're paying maximum price.
Just get that truck back there. That truck or trailer back down there, exactly. Yeah, fuck yeah, man. Yeah,
okay.
They're actually paying you all that fucker back, frankly. But they're still making the money.
Price does tend to indicate the value of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just added another 111 number, and I think it might be John Doe, but we've only got about 10 minutes left of the show, so before it ends. So we don't have that much time left.
What? Hey, can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure can. Hi there, John Doe.
Hey, gang. And I was wanting to try to pick up with Joseph Gibson when he was talking about his case, trying to get his permit. I was just curious, if they said you were guilty of moral turpitude, did you file a motion for a definitive statement that them identifying the behavior that gave them that interpretation of moral turpitude?
Absolutely. No, I under the conditions and rules by the board, I don't think they have to disclose that. They go by their own little processors that they use, and they send that to the company that was going to hire me, and then the company can appeal it. That's how it works. I'm not allowed to because I'm just a licensee, not a licensor. You know, that's what it read.
But the rule of law should be the same in the courts, and if you file for a motion to have definitive statement, you're just requesting that judge require that the opponent is not being, you know, vague or ambiguous. They're, you know, it's just saying, hey, if you're going to say he's got moral turpitude, then we need to define what you're talking about. What is moral turpitude and what is the proof that says that he's guilty of such?
Yeah. No, I understand that, man.
Because if they find that's immaterial, you can motion to strike that information, and then it may put you on a whole different basis. And they owe it to you to define what moral turpitude is and what it is that, you know, the behavior that you were in, whatever they have on you that says that you were behaving in such a way that gave them the idea that you're having moral turpitude. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm past that point now, though, John. Though I'm already in administrative hearings. You know what I mean? I've already filed judicial review papers, motions, and everything. I'm already past that part. So I can't go back now and do anything from the beginning. You know? You understand what I'm saying?
I didn't know that you couldn't file for a motion of to have a more definitive statement. At any point, but I could be wrong. I'm not Mr. Know-It-All.
Yeah, I'll look into it, though.
Yeah, they owe it to you to be clear. They owe it to all of us to be clear in every case, whether it's yours, mine, or anybody else's.
Oh, yeah.
For them to give you this, this label on you, moral turpitude, but then they don't explain what that is in the, way they're trying to apply it, and the proof that you behaved in such a way that applies that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just curious.
I appreciate the advice. I'll look into that. I will. Believe me, I've been knocking my head over this, man. All day I've been at it. It's like some days I'll just start doing research on it. And basically, I just want to know, look, if they're violating the statute, how can I compel them as a citizen to make them obey the statute? I mean, if I violate the statute, I get punished. What about them?
Yeah.
And
like you were saying earlier, it's an abuse of process and abuse of discretion. If you can point out that rule or whatever it is that they're skipping or not upholding, then maybe they might think twice. But the judge,
like you were saying earlier, if he's a leftist, it's like that Jack Smith guy with Trump. It don't matter. They're going to run roughshod over you anyway.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, it's $140 for me to file for candidacy this year. $140 I got to pay. Unbelievable.
Hey,
just to get my name on the ballot.
Hey, I need to jump in on you real quick, but I'm starting to show up so everybody knows Crazy Nation Radio is going to be live in about 5 minutes. All right? So if you get cut off, Mary, you know where we're headed to. So anyway, I thought I'd let y'all know that.
All righty. Yeah,
awesome.
And you know
I will make
want,
my
you know
way over there once we wrap up here.
You know how much they want for governor? For if you want to run for governor, they got you got to pay $1,547 to run for governor. Unbelievable.
Why?
That's a filing
to
fee.
Who?
That you got to pay that
filing
if you want to run
fee?
For governor. Yep. If you want to run for governor, you got to pay that.
Justify that cost. What exactly? What in the hell exactly are they doing? Work-wise, to process somebody filing to run for governor.
it's a thousand. It's $1,500 to run for a commissioner of agriculture, associate justice, state supreme court, attorney general. It's all over $1,500. District attorney, governor, insurance commissioner, judge, district court, judge, superior court. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. You know, state representative, mine's the cheapest, 140, and state senator, 140. Incredible. Crazy. It's ridiculous.
All right, I guess since you guys are still connected, we're just going to simulcast you. We're just going to keep doing what you're doing, folks.
actually, we're going to have to end this show. Robert, accidentally, he muted himself to talk to his wife, and then
oh, no.
The switchboard went down, and so he can't unmute himself now.
Oh my God.
So he's asked me if I can wrap up the show, and so I can definitely wrap up the show. Of course, I can't play any, you know, music or anything since the switchboard is dead. And so, yeah, we can make our way over to your show, Ron, after we officially end this one.
Okay, like I said, I'm just connected to your show, so whenever you disconnect, you disconnect. Okay, so I just kept on. No. Anyway, okay, I'll see you when you get there.
All right,
we'll be there
shortly. I guess
we'll
yeah, just want to hang up and head over there then. All right, guys, I guess
right, we'll
hang up.
Yeah,
I don't want
to keep talking on Robert's show when the host can't even, you know, unmute himself to talk. So.
Yeah. All right, Robert, good show, man.
Right,
good show, Robert.
Out.
All right, I'll see you guys in a little bit. All right, bye.
Okay, I'll be there in a few. All right, everybody, let's wrap this up for the night. Let's make our way over to Ron Rex's show. So if you go on Blog Talk, look at the live shows that are on, you'll find Crazy Nation Radio. Well, let's make our way over there, and we will continue this party. Sound good? Hello?
Yes, sounds good.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, sounds like everybody hung up. I can't tell, so. Anyway, all right, let's make our way over there, folks. And then we'll see you there.